Rhodes filling in for Harrison Smith on the War Room today. I'm excited to be here and very honored. We have a real kick-ass group of guests coming in. First up, we got Chris and Megan Kelly. These are OG election integrity warriors from way back. So Chris and Megan Kelly's first up. And following her is going to be Harrison Floyd, one of the co-defendants of President Trump in the Georgia ridiculous lawfare against him in the election in Georgia. So Harrison Floyd, who did jail time, actually, will be joining us after that. And then Trivian Kuti, another co-defendant of President Trump from Georgia, another OG warrior for election integrity in Georgia. I want to get their thoughts on what's been going on with the recent raid by the FBI on the records depository there in Georgia. And then their thoughts about going forward. What can we do to clean up our elections? And what we're looking at for the midterms and even more importantly for our primaries. And also coming after that will be Garland Favorito, an expert on election fraud in Georgia, co-founder of Voter GA, fantastic source of knowledge. And then following him will be Brian Lupo, U.S. Marine Corps combat veteran who's always on top of election fraud. And then at the very end of it, wrapping it all up, will be Ivan Raiklin, Lieutenant Colonel, Retired Special Forces, and the Secretary of Retribution. So we are at a critical moment in our country. I've shared the frustrations of Harrison and others with the lack of action by the Trump administration. And it just seems like a repeat of what we saw in the first term. You know, the analogy that Harrison uses is about, you know, Charlie Brown kicking the football and Lucy always saying, oh, yo, don't worry, this time I'll let you kick it. And then she pulls it out and he falls on his ass. And it feels like that for us over and over again. It's like deja vu all over again. Just like in 2020, President Trump is being, you know, the clock's being run out. He's got bad apples around him. But I think, and I've always said this, Tulsi Gabbard is a fantastic exception to that rule. And so I was very happy to see that she is directly involved in the investigation into the election fraud of 2020. And I hope that this is the wedge that blows open the deep state in this country. It has the capacity to be the turning point to actually take down the deep state. This is what President Trump was elected three times for, and I believe he won all three elections. He was sent there by the American people. I think a good analogy is he's like our plumber. Our house is filling with crap. It's backed up. It's flooded the basement. It's flooding into the kitchen. And we've called the plumber to come fix it. We don't care about his butt crack showing. We don't care about mean tweets on the internet. We don't care about who he slept with in the past. We just want him to fix the problem. The kitchen's flooding. Mom's pissed off. Dad can't go to work. He's got to take care of his house. We put him there to fix this. If he does not drain the swamp and does not fix this, then it's going to leave we the people to have to do it ourselves by busting down the foundations with pickaxes and shovels and sledgehammers and knocking holes in the foundation to drain the swamp ourselves. So we hope this is the beginning of him actually fixing it. So I think it's a very good sign that Tulsi Gabbard's involved. Frankly, I believe that she should be our number one pick for president in 2028. I think she has proved up. I've said this earlier. I was talking to Rob Dew, American Journal, this morning. I think that Tulsi Gabbard and Robert Kennedy Jr. would be a fantastic ticket. These are two people that have proved up, both walked away from the Democratic Party, both became Trump loyalists for the right reasons, and both of them have shown the American people that they care about our rights. And we can trust them, I believe, their intent. The rest of the swamp has shown us over and over again on both sides of the aisle, they cannot be trusted. So we're going to dig into this today. I guess we'll start off with Chris and Megyn Kelly, an OG Ron Paul Republican from way back who helped flip Michigan red for President Trump in 2024. And she joins me in the frustration we see. We see a train wreck coming in our midterms if we don't turn things around right now. If we don't fix this, and when we say right now, we mean in time for our primaries. We have got to have strong MAGA, America First candidates in our primaries so that we can have strong elections in midterms and win the House and the Senate for President Trump. If we don't, if the communists come back into power, we're all doomed.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Stuart Rose. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back to the War Room. We've got a stacked deck of wonderful guests coming in. First up will be Kristen Megan Kelly, an old OG Ron Paul Republican I've known for many years. A dedicated Liberty warrior. If we can bring her into the studio, let's talk to her.
Well, hello, Stuart.
Hey, Kristen. There you are. How you doing?
You know, just battling tech issues, but I'm here now.
All right. Awesome. Glad to have you. Welcome. So,
It's good to see you hosting once again. I love seeing you in those seats.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. This is a good day. So let's talk about what's happening right now. I mean, you and I have been exchanging information. In fact, I'm going up to Michigan to speak at one of your Liberty conferences up there. I believe a lot of like-minded people are very frustrated and very concerned about what's coming up for the midterms and our primaries. Let's dive into that. Let's tee it up with Tulsi Gabbard being there at the FBI raid in Georgia. I think is a great indicator of a good sign. I want to get your thoughts on that, but also let's talk about the midterms. And you've got a video you want to show us about one of your horrible candidates in Michigan that Trump has endorsed, right?
Correct. And that is former Michigan Congressman Mike Rogers, the champion author of FISA, what would have been CISPA, and all of the dragnet anti Fourth Amendment violations that Alex was speaking about, 12, 15 years ago. And now he's running again for Senate. He lost in 2024, and we can dive into why he lost.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and show that clip, guys.
Now let's talk about former Michigan Congressman Mike Rogers, who is gunning for, once again, a Senate seat here in Michigan, a seat that he lost in 2024 against Democrat Alyssa Slotkin. See, in the state of Michigan, we are our down-ballot state, meaning at the top of your ballot, you can elect to just vote for all Republicans or all Democrats. People could not vote for this man. There was enough people who did not want to engage in political Stockholm syndrome and put this man back in power. He lost against Alyssa Slotkin by nearly 20,000 votes, and just over 170,000 votes went to neither member of the Uniparty. This voter demographic is who I am primarily speaking to. Now let's go over Mike Rogers' actual record. As congressman and chair of the House Intelligence Committee, he co-authored and championed CISPA, which was a bill that would have allowed vast amounts of Americans' private online data to be shared with the federal government, with hardly any privacy protections. He also voted to extend the Patriot Act, preserving post-9/11 surveillance. This authority was even found by courts to be abused and unconstitutional. He once again voted to reauthorize FISA surveillance powers, including programs that enabled warrantless bulk collection of communications. This impacted so many innocent Americans.
Credit George Bush and his administration for assembling this new intelligence community. They passed the Patriot Bill that allows and takes the handcuffs off our intelligence services. Policymakers back here use words like illegal wiretap.
The domestic surveillance program of the NSA. It could be abused.
We're already seeing pressure on the Patriot Act that maybe we don't need it now.
Couldn't be further from the truth.
The bulk telephone metadata program is legal and effective. Provisions of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act expire at
the end of this month. We need to rapidly reauthorize these provisions, and we need to work toward making these tools permanent as a part of our arsenal.
Self-restriction, big problem in U.S. intelligence collection.
We're the only intelligence service in the world that is forced to go to a court.
But we always joked in the intelligence space, we would love to get 1/10 of what Google has on you.
I supported these programs when they were classified, and I support these programs today.
He defended the NSA's mass metadata collection, insisting that Americans were not being spied on, claims that were later contradicted by federal court rulings, showcasing how he lacks integrity and honesty. He voted to reauthorize FISA surveillance powers, and this included programs that allowed warrantless bulk collection of communications that hindered so many freedoms for we the people. He defended the NSA's mass metadata collection. He insisted Americans were not being spied on, a complete lie, proven later and contradicted by federal court rulings. He consistently sided with the TSA and Department of Homeland Security state expansion. He defended invasive screening and surveillance over meaningful Fourth Amendment guardrail protections. Mike used fear-based rhetoric to silence critics, framing constitutional objections as a threat to national security, once again violating his oath and trampling on our First Amendment protected rights. See, this isn't about one bad vote. He has a pattern of violating his multiple taken oaths. When Edward Snowden exposed mass surveillance programs that courts later ruled unlawful, you would think that Mike Rogers would have corrected himself, but he didn't. He continued to mock, threaten, and dehumanize Edward Snowden and other military veterans and other individuals who took an oath and wanted to call out his bad acting. This should trouble every American and every veteran, especially those who vote in Michigan. Yes, Edward Snowden did sign secrecy agreements, but those agreements did not override the U.S. Constitution. And at that time, intelligence contractors didn't have any really whistleblower protection pathway. They had no way to report this unconstitutional activity. Snowden didn't sell secrets. He didn't spy for a foreign power, despite Mike Rogers claiming he worked for Russia, and he did not sabotage the United States.
I mean, that's remarkable, right? I mean, that is, hey, this guy who revealed that we're all full of shit and lying and breaking the Constitution, turns out he's a Russian spy. We should get rid of that guy and not listen to him anymore. I'm Mike Rogers. He's been doing this, and so, and by the way, his partner in crime, Dianne Feinstein, just last week went crazy because she found out they're spying on her too. So this whole thing that the American spies are somehow the good guys. Oh yeah, they're the good guys. They just seem like the bad guys because they're constantly breaking the Constitution by spying on American citizens.
Here is Mike Rogers joking with General Hayden about placing Edward Snowden on a kill list.
Several months, I had also thought of nominating Mr. Snowden, but it was for a different list. Okay.
I can help you with that. Oh, there's cameras here too. I forgot about that.
What Snowden did was expose illegal surveillance of American people. Surveillance that should have never existed in the first place. This is no form of treason. This is following the Constitution, and it was a wake-up call for many Americans. When I talked about Mike Rogers taking an oath multiple times, he took an oath in the Army, as an FBI agent, and as a congressman. All of these oaths, although a little different, were bound by the same principle. The Constitution always comes first. But again and again and again, he chose power over restraint, secrecy over accountability, and bureaucrats and donors over we the people. These betrayals of our U.S. Constitution weren't little paper cuts. These are deep, historic, long-standing constitutional wounds. These can't be healed with little slogans or apologies. As many of you know, once we lose our rights, we don't get them back. And right after leaving Congress, Mike Rogers walked straight through the revolving door, from being a government tyrant to working for CNN as a contributor and pundit, and then to a defense and surveillance industry contractor that profited from continuously spying on Americans from promoting fear. This is not an act of public service. This was a power grab. It was a man forgetting his oath over power.
So, Kristen, this is an example of why the Republican Party continues to lose in Michigan. He lost to the Democrat last time around, right?
He did, but I don't know about you, but I actually made this video yesterday, and like now air quotes just trigger me. See, the thing is that in 2024, Trump wants it, he endorsed Mike Rogers just like he did this cycle. And I cover a faction. I'm actually in my local county Republican Party. I'm a delegate and I'm on the District 4 Congressional Committee in the Republican Party as a Ron Paul Republican. There's many of us. And I was blamed for Alyssa Slotkin, a former CIA agent, you know, getting to D.C. And I said, I am not to blame. I advocated against voting for him to teach the Republican establishment to stop elevating these very swamp creatures that Trump campaigned against, the very swamp creatures that work with the Democrats to trump up these, no pun intended, insane charges to make sure that Trump couldn't get elected again. He's a former never Trumper. He's molded himself to get in. And I think when you have a record like this, not only as somebody who is tyrannical, but you violated your oath multiple times. This is very reminiscent to South Carolina with Trump endorsing Lindsey Graham, Mike Rogers' twin. I think it's disrespectful to the Liberty base to turn around and elevate these people when you actually have candidates that are from the grassroots who are throwing their own money into this, you know, being attacked, getting the signatures. It's just, we have to stay on course. We want Trump to get the rest of the time, the rest of these 3 years to hopefully continue to run on those campaign promises. Nothing happens overnight, but by endorsing people like Lindsey Graham and Mike Rogers, it's political suicide. And all the hard work I have done to earn the Liberty crossover vote in the open primary state of Michigan, this is undoing all the hard work that I have done. Yet I still am supporting the Trump administration. So, you know, the libertarians tell me I'm a sellout and the Republicans tell me I'm an infiltrator. No, I'm just an oath keeper.
Amen. You know, so he lost in 2024, the same year that President Trump won, right? So it goes to show you the American people, and this is what I've been preaching to forever, is that President Trump successfully got walkaway Democrats like Tulsi Gabbard and Robert Kennedy Jr., but others followed him. He got the independents turned out. He got libertarians. He went and spoke to Libertarian Convention, and he got us Ron Paul Republicans. All voted for Trump the same year they defeated Mike Rogers because they gave Trump a chance to prove up, but they knew Rogers was just going to be the same as he always was. And this is an important lesson. Like, I just got in a fight the other night. I was at an open candidate forum and down in the Hill Country. And a conservative who I've known for like 15 years and I respect, I said, hey, so the midterms, are you either going to get more Massey's or Ron Paul's or Rand Paul's? And he's like, I hope not. He said, those two are the worst. And he blames them for the dissension inside the ranks. It just blew my mind. This guy, I thought he was switched on, but he's drinking the Kool-Aid. The Kool-Aid is, all of you should shut up and vote Republican. And if we lose the midterms, it's your fault. It's Massey's fault for speaking out. It's Rand Paul's fault for speaking out. It's not our fault for being squishes and oath breakers. It's your fault for not just holding your nose and voting for us. That seems to be the establishment message.
Yeah, and a lot of people attacking your type of message are the type of people who aren't actually looking at the data. So I had a tweet that went kind of viral and Massey shared it where I was calling out the attacks on Massey for opposing the big, beautiful bill because, you know, how hard is it to do single issue bills? What happened is the things that Trump ran on, if you really look at Massey's record, because I've had people tell me he's ineffective. Well, it's not what Massey hasn't been able to get done. It's what has the establishment done to stop him. So ending the Department of Education, auditing the Fed, ending the Fed, all of the very things that got the libertarian minds all perked up during the 2024 election are all bills that Thomas Massey has tried to get through Congress.
Right.
So when people attack Thomas Massey, when Trump attacks Thomas Massey in very vile ways, I will say, I can't defend it. He's attacking the mirror. He literally, I'm saying he stole Massey's idea, but he knew things that the average American wanted, because I always say most Republicans are actually at heart libertarians, more Mises caucus libertarians. But, you know, it's just when you attack Thomas Massey, he's like the bat signal of the Liberty base. And I've donated to him more than any other candidate. He's not even in my district.
Hey, he's the biggest representation. He's this era's Ron Paul. He's Dr. No for this current era.
There's Ron Paul. That's my Ron Paul puppet from the RNC convention in 2012. You're exactly right. The Ron Paul revolution has never died. And no offense to Rand, but Thomas Massie was handed the torch and he stood strong. And, you know, there's people like Mike Lee and Burchett. These people are, they're drawing more Liberty voters in. And I'm just trying to remind them that you voted for Trump, regardless of why you did. You voted for him because you were so afraid of the unhinged progressive left. You voted for him to get 4 years. Please help him maintain that majority in the House and Senate. But it's hard because how long have we been trying to get them to pass the SAVE Act?
Right.
You know, we had DOGE find all this waste, fraud, and abuse to turn around and have, you know, for what I hear, Susie Wiles kind of push him out. So there are factions within the Republican Party, but it shouldn't be party. It should be constitutional. And I'm not saying I think Trump sold out, but I just think in order to give him full judgment, we got to give him those full 4 years. So I don't want people to abstain.
If the Democrats get back in as a foreign political prisoner, I know what it's going to be like for everyone. It's going to be horrible. So let's make it very clear. We do not want that. But we're trying to help people understand that you can't run crap candidates and expect that same coalition that elected Trump 3 times and that gave them the majority in 2024, gave them the majority in the House and Senate. You can't expect that coalition to hold if you're betraying your campaign promises and endorsing crap candidates yet again. That's the problem. So what do we do between now and our primaries? I know you've got another candidate in Michigan. Who's your alternative? So how do you get her to win versus the sellout?
Well, people need to sign nominating petitions for Genevieve Peters-Scott, who's a huge Ron Paul and Thomas Massie supporter. She's from that faction. And in the state of Michigan, it's about getting on those nominating petitions up until the first week of April. And it's just remembering, it's hard to beat Mike Rogers in the general because of the name recognition. But if you support Trump, you have to look away from this endorsement. And his endorsements don't work in Michigan. They usually lose. We got Congressman John James running in Michigan. Nobody wants him for governor. But really, to kind of go into how do we do this, Stuart, you were talking earlier about what happened in Fulton County. Now, there's a lot of people who have an absolutist mindset, and I tell them, you know, it's like football. You know, I got to get the first down. You have to celebrate those incremental wins. And so many people have been waiting for accountability. I think the fact that the Georgia Supreme Court said they should have had access to these ballots 3 years ago, they had every right to go in there. So no one can claim it's retaliatory. They had the highest court in the state, you know, order them to give them permission, basically, to do this. And that type of action is what gets those people to go, wait, are we actually going to have somewhat accountability for 2020? Because so many people say, move on from that. No, because our elections are not safe until there's some form of massive accountability for watching people pull suitcases out from underneath the desk at 3 a.m. And here in Michigan, you know, you had coolers drawn in and pizza boxes covering windows when you're supposed to have election poll watchers. So this action, I believe, and having people like Tulsi Gabbard in there, who's more of an independent, she's not risk averse, and that is what I love about her. And I talked to her before she talked on this position. Her and I have been speaking at the same events for years, and I told her, you are a new mascot for the female liberty base.
Hey,
so
we saw her at Ron Paul's 90th. No accident. She was at Ron Paul's 90th birthday party. We were both there, and we saw her there. So, yeah, I think she's carrying a torch. And her presence at the raid, the FBI raid in Georgia, is what gives me hope. Because otherwise, be like, is this just window dressing in advance of the midterms to make the base think they're going to do something? But I think her being involved lets me know that this is real. There's a potential for this to be the wedge that blows open the deep state. Let's hope.
Yeah, I agree, because I know there are optics in politics. I do not feel that Tulsi is the type of person who will allow herself to be, you know, it's like the political hold the baby photo op.
Right.
I don't think she was there for a photo op. You know, she's a badass. Like I said, she's not risk averse. She's gone through hell and back from attacks from both sides of the aisle, but that woman is upholding her oath of office and her military service oath. And I mean, I'm a skeptic about a lot of things. I do believe there will be accountability. You know, I've been listening to Patrick Byrne. We've talked about this at Ron Paul's birthday party. He said things are coming. So I'm not saying he knew about this, but this type of action is what is going to finally feed the hunger for accountability. And there's a lot of accountability that is needed, but it's a start.
Yeah, and reinvigorate the base, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play the second clip. Speaking of rhino Republicans, I want to play this clip of Troy Nehls, a conservative, so-called conservative Republican from Texas. This is what I saw when I was in the Senate, or in the House hearings, the new J6 committee. And Troy Nehls started out by saying, oh, this committee is going to get to the bottom of J6 and expose all the lies of the first committee, first ridiculous unselect committee of J6. But here's what he said in the hearing. Let's play this next clip.
Why would Trump supporters leave a Trump speech and breach the Capitol grounds before the speech ever ended? I've been to rallies, this and that. When the boss is up there speaking, nobody leaves early. Nobody leaves early. I tell you why, because there was never a call to violence. There was never a call to violence or a call to storm the Capitol. That was something the militia groups are craving and created on their own. The Oath Keepers, Proud Boys, Antifa, 3%ers, bad actors that day, gotta say it, bad actors. They were acting alone and not listening to Trump. Stuart Rhodes stated that if Trump didn't do what they wanted, they would have to do it themselves.
So I'm sitting in the audience hoping this is going to be an actual exposure of the lies of the J6 Select Committee from 2022 and 2023. And it turns out this conservative, so-called conservative from Texas, went 90% of the way, adopted, like channeled inner Liz Cheney, adopted 90% of the false narrative that there really was an organized plot by Oath Keepers and Proud Boys to attack democracy. Only thing he leaves out is President Trump, as though that's doing President Trump any favors. This is the problem. With friends like this, who needs enemies? This is, you know, the left is lockstep united in their false narrative. They're relentless. You could never get them to crack. But on our side, you get guys like this. I'm not sure what his goal was. His goal was to what? Placate the left? Help them? What is he doing? This is the problem in the Republican Party is you got guys who are either idiots or they've sold out and they're part of the Uniparty and part of the takedown of the American people and attempt to stop MAGA and America First. But your thoughts on that?
Well, I think oftentimes people forget about how our country was founded. And it's not until you have a tyrannical government, they have to demonize people actually standing up. It's how we got here. Also, with what you're seeing in Fulton County, hopefully they go into Arizona and they come into Michigan. There will come a time. I feel it. It's biblical. We are going to have a time where people are going to look back at January 6th and go, oh, that's why they were upset. Now, I'm sure there was a minimal amount of people that did things they shouldn't have, but I knew your story, Stuart. You and I are very close. I knew your story. You were upholding your oath and you are a peaceful person. And the narratives surround it are just some, I don't know, is he trying to please, you know, a middle ground for elections? It's disingenuous. It's disrespectful. And, I don't know, the guy can go hump a cactus. It's weak. And I wonder how he feels now seeing what they're doing in Georgia, because it totally ties into J6. And is he calling this out for what's happening in Minnesota?
Yeah, I don't know. And I really don't care. I just want us to focus on what it takes to clean up. And I believe that starting with the 2020 elections is exactly right. And from there, they can walk right through that, right through J6, right through everything else, including the COVID coup. Hey, how can people find you and follow you online? All your work.
Yeah, I am most active on TikTok, Kristen Megan TV, on X, Kristen Megan, and on Facebook, my full name, Kristen Megan Kelly. You might see me on Dateline soon because, no, I'm just kidding. But, you know, thanks so much, Stuart, and I look forward to seeing you here really soon.
All right, we'll do it. God bless. Take care. All right, folks, coming up next, we'll have another kick butt truth teller, Harrison Floyd.
I have told the folks at Bigley, I said, I want to have the widest selection of combat daggers, trench knives, folding knives, you name it. They're high-quality brands that you buy in bulk that are very competitively priced. And then support the broadcast, because I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in. And they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives that I went out and told them what brands I liked, what was going on, and they were able to get it. And so a bunch of the knives that sold out a few months ago, they're back in. And then these bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. This is a great knife. This knife sells in stores for $75 all day long. We're selling it for 40-something and even bigger discounts, up to 50% off right now. Some of these knives are as low as $20 a piece. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. Go there now. We've got also the Murdered Out Black, and I love how it's that Kydex, and it's got that real fine engraving on it, so it gives you that great feeling, that great, because I got sent hundreds of knives from dozens of companies, and I'm the one that chose all these. And these are from really good companies, really good quality, and it's just a great deal. And so do your knife shopping at theyellowstonestore.com. But let me tell you what's back in stock. We have the new ones, Alex Jones Blackout Folding Knife, 7.65 assisted opening folding knife, 3.5 high carbon Damascus blade, 1095 plus 515 N20. This is all quality. D2 steel, black PVD coating, and stonewash finish, 3.3 millimeter black thickness, black G10 handle for a secure grip, 15.5 millimeter handle thickness for confident hand feel, ball bearing pivot system for smooth deployment. I mean, it's a nice quality knife. All black, blackout finished. I call it Murdered Out. Fast, decisive, assisting, operating, limited production, live before it sells out. And then we've got the same knife, but it's silver blade folding knife. If you like that, it's got a nice little hook on the end so you can tie it to things. The forest green folding knife that is my close second, really a sexy knife. Same as the other one. It's just got that forest green. Call it forest. It's kind of like an in-between forest and olive, but it's nice. Kind of Border Patrol. I call it Border Patrol green. Let's change the name, Border Patrol green. That's actually what it is. This bad boy. These all sold out, but they always hold back a few hundred in case orders come in later or whatever. So tip of the spear, Spartan, trench knife with brass knuckles, Murdered Out, and the Skull Crusher. A few hundred of those. They held back a few of these. It had sold out, but there's about 200 left. The Vlice Fire with this beauty limited edition. That funds the operation as well. It's a little different. Skull Crusher isn't as big. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. This has been sold out. They only got 500 of these the first run. Sold out in one day. It is back. They got 1,000 of them. And it's just a great knife. Really sleek, but really strong. Very well made. And you've got it in orange. Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. I like that. Now we've got the Alex Jones Ring Blade. This sold out the quickest last time. That's an amazing product. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue and take advantage of the very best supplements in the world. We'll be right back. Thanks for funding the Second American Revolution worldwide.
Welcome back to the War Room. This is Stuart Rhodes filling in today for Harrison Smith. And next up is another OG truth teller from the 2020 election, Harrison Floyd.
What's going on, Stuart? How are you doing?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor to be on with you guys.
Awesome. Hey, so in light of what just happened in with the raid in Florida, we want to bring you in. First of all, introduce yourself to the audience who don't know you. Please give your background and your involvement in the 2020 election.
I'm just a silly guy who got caught up in some stuff. I ran Black Voices for Trump. I ran the Black Outreach for President Trump's reelection campaign.
That was your crime, right?
Yeah. And served in the Marine Corps before that and transitioned into entrepreneurship and business.
What'd you do in the Marine Corps, brother?
I was 0331. I was a machine gunner, and then I was an information operations planner. I was one of the actually first enlisted ones, and then I was a martial arts instructor trainer for a little while, and then I got out.
Awesome. Well, hey, thank you for your service, brother.
Pleasure and a privilege.
So continue. So what happened with the 2020 election? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I was leading all the black outreach throughout the entire country for the 2020 campaign. I had the pleasure and privilege of traveling around the country, meeting the president a couple times, working closely with Laura Trump and the First Family. And, you know, the whole goal was to increase President Trump's turnout of particularly black votes. And we far exceeded our expectations with that. Even with January 6th and everything that people were talking about afterwards, all the negative stuff, we still managed to increase his share of minority votes. So it was pretty...
Are you talking about going to 2020 or 2024 or both?
2020. Gotcha. 2024, I couldn't participate. I was indicted with the president in the Georgia RICO case. And so because of my bond restrictions, there was just, you know, I couldn't communicate with him and a lot of other folks that I previously worked with. So Judge McAfee wasn't having it.
So, but leading the 2020 election, what was the increase in the black vote? And let me ask you about black male vote in particular.
Yeah. So we went up, I want to say black males from like 10 or 12 to 16% and black women from 8% to 12%. And so, it was pretty, you know, considering the environment we were in, George Floyd with the race riots, COVID, we were the first fully digital presidential campaign ever. We had a lot of hurdles to a lot of hurdles that we needed to overcome and challenges, but, we managed to do it.
Excellent. Cause you know, cause actually, in 2024, I believe it's the case that President Trump won a majority, like 52% of the black male vote. Is that accurate? I believe that's accurate.
I want to say it was probably definitely higher than that. We planted a lot of the seeds in 2020 that were able to be fully realized without, you know, silliness going around in the periphery in 2024. But we did a lot of unique things. We opened up field offices dedicated specifically to, you know, the black community. We had Latinos. For Trump, we had several different coalitions, but we had actual offices dedicated to them. It was really, truly unique, historic, and groundbreaking with not only the amount of attention that President Trump and the First Family put on trying to garner more of the black vote, but most importantly, the money that they put behind it. Our coalition, I want to say, had like $15 million was the budget that they put behind just that. And so it was... And that was when I first came on with Brad. Brad increased that during the campaign. So there was a lot of money, time, energy, resources that were put into it. Every time Brad was in the building, he always came by my desk and asked, how are we doing with Black Voices? Laura Trump as well. The president, I have a picture of him coming by my desk when he was there with Jared Kushner and everyone in the First Family. They were very, they wanted this. They really wanted this to happen. I could tell with everything that was going on in the media and things that they were, lies that were being spread about the president that he was racist. They wanted to prove that wrong, and we did.
Amen. So, but this put a target on your back, of course, right? So talk about your particular experience with the lawfare in Georgia being targeted.
Yeah. I was, so first in February of 2023, the FBI showed up at my doorstep when I was coming home with my daughter from swim school, and very aggressive, accosted my daughter and I. They lied and planted fake assault charges that were recently dismissed. But they just wanted evidence.
Hold on, the FBI accused you of assaulting an FBI agent or assaulting someone else?
Oh, no, two FBI agents. They alleged that I body slammed two FBI agents.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a whole political article on it, and it's pretty, it is what it is. But they alleged that I body slammed two FBI agents. They gave me a misdemeanor assault charge. And then a couple months later, I was at a Christian retreat in Colorado with my good friend Jack Brewer, supporting his foundation. And that's when I found out that I had been indicted in the Georgia RICO case with President Trump. And then it was just a whirlwind after that, man. Crazy.
Now, you've got a couple videos you wanted to show us. Let's go ahead and tee those up of you turning yourself in.
Yeah, I was the only co-defendant that was left behind in Fulton County Jail for 6 days right after, maybe like a week or two after another inmate was killed or passed away inside of Fulton County Jail, was eaten alive from bed bugs.
Wow. So hold on. So of all the co-defendants with President Trump in the lawfare in Georgia, you're the only one that went to jail.
I was the only one. They tried to keep me in Fulton County Jail when I turned myself in. They tried to make it look like I was fleeing or trying to not turn myself in. What actually took place was, when I got there, they tried to turn me away. They told me I couldn't turn myself in, and I was smart enough in one way to record myself trying to turn me in, but then some other folks captured it as well. They were trying to send me away. And when Judge Richardson denied me bond, she said I was at risk of, I was a flight risk, but I turned myself in before the president and I had proof that I was trying to turn myself in. They didn't want to do a pre-negotiated consent bond with me. They wanted me held in Fulton County Jail so I couldn't speak. I couldn't, you know, talk about what really transpired. They knew I had evidence in my possession of the FBI being involved in the 2020 election from Jack Smith, and they didn't want that information to get out. So that's why I was the only co-defendant that wasn't given a pre-negotiated consent bond. I was the only co-defendant that was held in Fulton County Jail. And I was also the only co-defendant that Fannie Willis tried to revoke their bond, because I was, okay, all right, you don't want me to put this stuff out? All right, here we go. And so I started dropping some tweets, and she got very unhappy very quickly and then tried to revoke my bond.
So was the condition of your bond by the judge that you couldn't speak? Any kind of a gag order on you?
Basically, yeah.
Right. So you just went and did it anyway. On First Amendment grounds, right?
So my attorney told me that, you know, we probably don't want to make the bear any more angrier than it already is. I'm skating on some thin ice. And so, you know, maybe we just chill out for a little while. I said, all right, okay, cool, fine. And as soon as the case was dismissed, a year and a half, I was like, okay, all right, right back to it. Gag order's over. Let's let people know what really went down.
Amen. I saw some of those tweets. So let's take a look at the video you gave us of yourself turning yourself in, or trying to at least.
The district attorney put in the news that I'm supposed to come to the Fulton County Jail and turn myself in. I am here at the Fulton County Jail to turn myself in. I'm not talking to the DA. I'm not talking to anybody else. I'm here to turn myself in.
Okay. If you choose to hold one moment, okay? Do not move.
So, yeah. Do you think they were trying to get you to drive away so that they could claim that you had not complied?
100%.
Okay.
100%. You can see, and there's another video that was captured outside that I didn't take, where you can hear me saying, I can turn myself in now. And they finally said yes. They were trying to send me away.
Let's listen to this one.
Yeah. Leave them alone. Let's go.
So they let you turn yourself in, and then they booked you. And how long were you in jail?
Well, so quickly, I shouldn't have had to record myself or even get out of the vehicle and cause, you know, I don't want to say cause a scene, but it did, to like turn myself in. The district attorney created this whole press conference and this whole scene where 18 people, 19 people had to turn themselves in by high noon on Friday. I show up and I'm there Thursday, the day before, and you're telling me I can't turn myself in? It did not make sense. And now that, you know, more information has come out, we see exactly why all that transpired and why she gave me so much differential treatment.
Explain that for the audience. Tell them what happened, why.
Yeah, so they already knew the evidence that I had, because I had to turn it into Jack Smith when I was subpoenaed by him. And I had to testify in D.C. before Jack Smith's grand jury. If anybody should have indicted me, it would have been Jack Smith because of what took place in Georgia, because I was on the phone and I was physically in Maryland when that conversation took place. So if any alleged crime took place, if, you know, we're talking about multiple, across multiple jurisdictions, state lines,
right,
you know, wiretapping because it was on the phone, all that. So I was never physically in Georgia. It was not, I was not physically in Fulton County. So there was no way for Fannie Willis to have the, she didn't have the standing to charge me. But they knew the information that I had regarding Ruby Freeman and they didn't want that to get out. And so they tried to create a scene or a perception that I didn't want to turn myself in, to make it look like that I was fleeing.
Right.
I was a flight risk. And that's why the judge later on, even after all this, said I was at risk. I was a flight risk. Well, how? Why? I flew here to turn myself in before the deadline.
Right.
There are other co-defendants involved that have multiple charges that were felonies more than me, but I'm the flight risk. None of it made sense.
So the judge, even though that was, you know, obviously fake and false, the judge still tried to deny you pretrial release bond, right?
Correct. And then there was a lot of attention in social media, a lot of money. Thank you to everyone who contributed and donated was raised for my defense fund. And we were able to be the first co-defendant to say, all right, you guys want to play hardball? Then we're not taking a deal. We're going to drag this out in court and you're going to have to prove that this election was legitimate and that there was no fraud. And here we are today.
So you're willing to go to trial?
Oh, 100%. I was ready to go to trial day one.
Amen. I know what that's like. So how did you get secure a bond then? Did the judge blink or did you appeal it and the appeals court made the judge give you bond?
No. So there was just a lot of, I was the only black male co-defendant in this and the only one to get arrested and held. So
right,
it just
right.
wasn't a really good look. And so, I didn't have news. I didn't have anything. I was, you know, tucked away in a dark corner in Fulton County Jail. And so I started to notice something was going on because as they were bringing me my food, this horrible, disgusting food and this medication I was on, more and more people were around them. And I was like, why are all these people here? And then, I was told by the judge that they were denying me bond and Scott McAfee would take this up when he came back from vacation. But then the DA's office came. Multiple attorneys came and I was kind of getting little bits and pieces of information from them. And so that's how I realized, oh wow, like something is going on outside.
And then what happened?
Just, Fannie Willis finally, relented and, they gave me a consent bond. From what I understand, she called multiple attorneys and people trying to get me out because, she was not happy with the phone calls that she was, receiving.
So public pressure. The public pressure worked in this case.
A lot of pressure on her. Yeah. Ton. And it worked. And thank you to everyone who participated in that because I always say if I hadn't gotten out then, I probably would have sat in Fulton County Jail for 2 years.
Yep. I can tell you that's about right. Now, hey, you mentioned bad food. What were they feeding you guys in that jail?
It was honestly, it was worse than stuff that I ate in the Marine Corps.
That's saying something, right?
It was just horrible. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Worse than an MRE, I'm sure, all day long, right?
Definitely would have taken that over that crap,
yeah,
for sure.
Because you got, I'm sure it was like little soy patties. You can't even identify what it's supposed to be.
I don't know what it was. It right. was like right. a brick or something. And I was like, yeah, this is not the place.
You're happy to get bologna and cheese, right? Compared to the soy glob. Yeah, I know what that's like, man. I'll tell you, people don't understand this. The jails across this country have the worst food. And you're thrown in there as just an accused, not someone convicted of anything. You're just accused and you're given, you know, horrible food and horrible medical care. This is the way it is. Yeah.
And you know, that's why I combine that with the high cost of legal fees. That's why a lot of people are taking plea deals and they're not able to fight these charges. And so I think that we're very fortunate with the Georgia RICO case where we're able to recoup a lot of our attorney fees and we're waiting to see what the judge is going to decide on that. But I think if that was a law throughout, you know, the entire country where if the prosecutors do not get a positive termination of the case, then they should have to pay back your legal fees, right? This is a debt that people are incurring unnecessarily. And if that happened, then I think they would give them pause for throwing out, you know, crazy charges, silly charges. Yeah. Some people just can't afford to fight.
Because right now they have no downside. That's what they do across the country.
Yeah. They have the power of the government's purse behind them, and they can just throw what they want at you and see if it sticks. And I'm just very blessed and fortunate that God was on my side. I knew what I did. I knew what I didn't do. I didn't do anything wrong, and he was there for me the whole time. The MAGA community that the left likes to paint as racist got me out of jail. It wasn't Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson or the NAACP. It was hardworking Americans that were patriots that saw something was wrong, and they wanted to fix it. And I'm very, very blessed, privileged. I thank everyone for helping me.
Amen, brother. Amen. What do you think about what's happening right now with the raid, the FBI raid just Wednesday? What's your opinion on that?
So the conversation that TK and I had with Ruby Freeman's covered a lot of different things. One thing that
so
really
what was the information?
Out,
let's go back to that. What was the information you had about Ruby Freeman that freaked them out so much?
So essentially in the middle of everything, right before the election was certified, she said on a police body cam in a police station that what the public was being told by senior officials wasn't true. That they had cleared her, but they hadn't really, they cleared her in public, but no one was talking to her. She didn't know what was going on. And, but those were some of the main things that really stuck out. Yes, we did talk about the ballots and some other things. I was only over the phone, so I would defer to Trevian on, you know, some of the things that happened there, like that, in the room kind of chemistry type stuff. But we essentially what happened was there was a conversation. It was captured on police body cam. It couldn't be destroyed, and some not good things were said on it. Mm-hmm. And so, that's what led to where we are today. And the ballots have been seized. They're going through them. Garland Favorito, Kevin Moncla, Jason Frazier, a lot of folks did a lot of work into, put a lot of work into finding out what really went down. And so now we actually have the proof, right? And so I'm pretty excited to see what's going to come of it. I have a feeling I know what's going to happen or what they're going to find, but,
give us a hint? What do you think they're going to find?
That the 2020 election should have never been certified, that President Trump won. So here's an interesting thing, and no one has really thought about it from this perspective, all right? And I'll give you my unique insight to it. In 2020, Georgia had the highest concentration of black voters in the entire country. Fulton County had the highest concentration of those black voters, right? Those 13 precincts in Fulton County are what determined the outcome of the election in Georgia, right?
Right.
So if Fulton County has the highest concentration of black voters and there's issues regarding the election and what took place in the processes and procedures, that means the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and 65 have been violated in Georgia, which is something that they've been known to do with messing with black voters, black votes, right? So this isn't just a, you know, fraud or a crime and denying President Trump his right to those electoral votes. This is also a civil rights and voting rights crime against black supporters who we know supported President Trump in 2020. His share of the black vote went up, right? So how does he lose a state in 2020 that he won in 2024 when his concentration of those voters went up? That doesn't make sense. Not only that, but in order for Joe Biden to have beat President Trump, Joe Biden would have had to have gotten more black votes than Barack Obama to win the presidency in 2008 and become the first black president. So then that begs the question, well, do you think black people in America love Joe Biden more or Barack Obama more?
Right.
This makes sense, right?
So there's disenfranchising black vote, which is really interesting because President Trump was sued right along with myself, Oath Keepers and Proud Boys, under the theory that we were violating the KKK Act by disenfranchising black voters by challenging the election of 2020. That's the smear. But it turns out they were the ones actually disenfranchising black voters, is what you're saying.
Correct. Democrats have a history of doing that, of blaming Republicans for what the Democrats are actually doing. So on top of the other two things that I just mentioned, there was a special election for the for a Georgia Senate seat because Johnny Isaacson gave his up. John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock ended up winning, both Democrats flipping to Republican seats, which gave Democrats the trifecta, the White House, the House, and the Senate, right? So not only was President Trump denied the presidency, not only were black voters disenfranchised, but also the entire country was disenfranchised because there's two senators sitting in the Senate giving Democrats the majority that shouldn't be there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's why the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, refused to turn over the ballots, doesn't want to turn over anything, communications with Fannie Willis, with the ballots, with anything, because they know how bad this is going to be. This is the biggest crime in the, like, centuries. Probably ever in American history when it all comes out and it's said and done.
Yeah, nationwide, by the Uniparty, by Republicans and Democrats.
Bad Republicans canoodling with Democrats in Georgia.
And I sincerely hope this blows it all open and leads to the destruction of the deep state, the Uniparty. What do you think? Is it potentially going to happen?
Just in Georgia, I think no. I think once the coordinated effort that was shown combining Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, right, and how they
Colorado
work together, that will be the thing that I think is really the crux for them. And we're going to need some, attorney generals in some different states with some intestinal fortitude that are going to bring this forward. But once we do, we're able to crack that link that they all have. It's going to be really hard for them to bounce back. President Trump was definitely right when he said, if we stop this cheating in our elections, Democrats are never going to get elected again. Their policies, a lot of the things that they're advocating for, real America isn't going for it. And, right.
That's why they have to cheat. I mean, I'll tell you what, man, when I was in prison, I spent 3 years in prison. I can tell you, President Trump had the overwhelming support of all the inmates, 95% black, Hispanic, and white. All respect him. All believe that he needs to be given a chance to fight for the working man. Hey, brother, how can folks follow you, and how can we keep in touch?
I'm on X, HW_Floyd. Other than that, I'm a pretty private guy, but I'm happy to get in touch with folks if you want to text, tweet, whatever.
Hey, man. Hey, we'll have you back on again, I'm sure, and I'll contact you offline.
For sure. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure and a privilege being here with you guys. And thank you so much for what you're doing, making sure people are informed.
God bless. We're going to have, we're going to have Trevian on next. And after that, Garland Favorito, the two people he mentioned of being on the job when it came to the election fraud in 2020 in Georgia.
I'm here to announce a new, extremely exciting product at thealexjonesstore.com, and that's Mind Fuel. Brought to you by the same folks that developed Optimal Human. This is an Optimal Human product. We set out with our sponsor, Bigley, to come out with a clean, nootropic energy shot that doesn't have any letdown, but gives you clean energy. This stuff is so strong, though, I take half a shot in the morning. It's a big shot. And another half in the afternoon if I need to work late. But again, you can still sleep on it because it's not a traditional stimulant. So if you loved Optimal Human, the strongest, best, super nutrient-packed green drink out there, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, you are going to love Mind Fuel. And when I go to these ingredients, go research these for yourself and then know, when you find out how great they are, that we have the very best and the very strongest in this product, Mind Fuel, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Nootropic Mind Fuel is here. This clean, caffeine-free energy shot is designed for clear thinking, steady focus, and zero compromise. It's time to abandon sugary energy drinks and stimulant-heavy formulas in favor of clean, functional, nootropic-based energy. Zero calories, sugar-free, benefit, no crash, no blood sugar spike. Advantage can be used daily without guilt, and it's good for your whole body, not just your brain. Caffeine-free formula, smooth, clean energy. Advantage, ideal for caffeine-sensitive users and late-day use. Nootropic Alpha GPC, Citricoline, DMAE, GABA, VA. Benefits, supports, mental clarity, and focus. Advantage competes with premium brain formulas in a convenient shot. And the best part is, it's an adaptogenic and herbal proprietary blend. Balanced, grounded energy. Advantage appeals to both biohackers and holistic consumers. And then it's got high-quality electrolytes and a spectrum of high-quality B. If you love our other products, thealexshowstore.com, you are going to love Mind Fuel. And if you haven't tried our Ultra Methylene Blue or our Shilajit or Irish Sea Moss or our Bovine Colostrum, you're crazy. These are all incredible products. Get your Mind Fuel now at thealexshowstore.com and help keep us on the air while empowering your life.
Watching the call of the rare purple-haired booby as it calls out for a clue in the distance. The strange bird supervenes upon its territory, oblivious to the protector it disturbs with great commotion and abandonment.
This needs to stop. I'm also, you know, I'm a disabled veteran, nothing veteran. I've never been deployed or anything like that. But, you know, my values for joining the military and joining the army, like, this hurts to see. This hurts on such a crazy level to watch these wannabes do this shit. You know, they don't know what they're doing at all.
Unseen by the booby, yet perilously close, lies the object of its fervent search.
I sit here!
A single tantalizing clue, perhaps a glint of something metallic, half buried among the leaf litter far across the clearing. And now, it calls. The bird throws back its head, the long, slender neck arching in a gesture, both graceful and absurd, reverberating off ancient tree trunks, carrying for hundreds of meters in search of an answer that does not come. Oblivious to all else, the booby leans forward, wings half unfurled in excitement, its vibrant crest of purple filaments quivering with each powerful expulsion of breath.
We have to show up with guns. We have to. There's no other way around it.
Their protector bird, whether they know it or not, is known as U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. Created March 2003 as a direct response to the horrors of 9/11, forged in the fires of the Homeland Security Act that smashed 22 agencies into the new Department of Homeland Security. But its roots stretch back over two centuries to Alexander Hamilton's vision of collecting tariffs and guarding America's economic sovereignty in 1789, evolving through periods of immigration waves, border chaos, and criminal exploitation. Human trafficking rings, child exploitation networks, drug cartels, hundreds of thousands of criminal aliens, gang members like MS-13 and Tren de Aragua, and terrorist financing schemes, keeping our communities safer, our borders stronger, and our nation from being overrun by those who would exploit our laws and endanger American citizens.
ICE is here!
It stamps one webbed foot, then the other, sending tiny cascades of dew from the leaves below. Yet, in its exuberance, the bird has failed to notice the disturbance it creates.
We're asking people not to go to work, not to go to school, not spend a single penny. It is really important for us to have you all stand in solidarity with us. Our communities haven't been able to actually go to school.
To me, being Somali isn't just eating bananas with rice.
Well, what we're witnessing, and this is why the larger picture is important here, we're right on the edge cliff in terms of the possibility of America sustaining itself as a social experiment in the best sense of just becoming an empire full of might and force.
This is a cancer. White evangelical Christianity is a cancer. These are the worst of our country.
Shame on every Republican in the Senate who put this wildly unqualified person into a position of significance, the Department of Homeland Security, so she could unleash brutalization on everyday Americans, American citizens, and law-abiding immigrant families. It's disgraceful. She's got to go. We are dead serious She needs to be put on ICE permanently.
Yes, dismantle ICE, but also the Border Patrol, also the agency that looks over citizenship and asylum. All of it needs to be dismantled and rebuilt so people are not terrorized by their own governmental agency.
This isn't just about what's going on here right now. This is about this not going any further. It's not going to any other states. This is about this stopping. And people don't understand, you know, this needs to stop.
Secure borders and aggressive enforcement aren't just policy. They are crucial survival.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Stuart Rose. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to War Room. I got to do a plug here for what's going on in the InfoWars store, the Alex Jones store. You've got a great sale right now. It's a rotating sale, up to 25% off of my favorite, Ultramethylene Blue, both in capsules and the tincture. That stuff is really good for your mental clarity and alertness. Fantastic. They also have 50% off on this crazy, friggin' wild-ass trench knife that they've got, which is a modern recreation of a World War I trench knife with Alex Jones's special art added to it. Get half off on that. And they've got a really good, slick little knife. This is their Patriot Silver knife. It's got a flip paddle for easy opening. It's got a liner lock. I like this. It's got a built-in choil on it that helps keep your hand from sliding up on the blade, even if the lock were somehow to fail. That helps protect your hand. And it's got a good skull crusher on the back, or you call that a window breaker. So not a bad knife. This is a good daily carry knife. It's got G10 panels on it, and it's got D2 steel. So razor sharp, good to go for a pocket carry. So go to the InfoWars store, or the Alex Jones store, my bad. Go to the Alex Jones store and help support the InfoWar. You can get this knife in the Border Patrol green. You can get it in the silver, or you can get it in midnight black, what they call murder black. So take your pick, support the InfoWar, and get yourself a good blade. A good blade, I always carry at least one knife, most of the time at least two. So I think you should carry a knife on you everywhere you go, because you just never know when you're going to need it. So let's talk to our next guest coming in. So now somebody that our prior guest, Harrison, had mentioned is Trevian Kuti. And Trevian Kuti is a high-level political strategist and cultural power broker who's been at the center of some of the most explosive entertainment media, legal, and free speech battles in modern American politics. And she, just like with Harrison, has the honor of being a co-defendant with President Trump in the lawfare we saw in the 2020 election in Georgia. So welcome to the show, Trevian.
Good evening. I'm going to say it is now on the East Coast. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm amazing.
Good answer. Well, please tell the audience what happened with you in 2020 in Georgia.
So if we get into it prior to all of the drama, I was called down to Atlanta, Fulton County, to work as a campaign manager for a candidate who was running against John Lewis in the 5th District of Georgia. And with all the hoopla going on, that was the whole Black Lives Matter, you know, get up. If you remember, they painted the Black Lives Matter on Pennsylvania Avenue behind the White House, and they propped John Lewis up there he had been sick, and, you know, he made this astounding, you know, display of courage on the Black Lives Matter paint, you know, in front of the White House. And we actually, I was working with Angela Stanton King, and we actually went to D.C. to check this whole thing out. And I always study my enemies. And so they propped John Lewis up there. And so I went and got as close as I possibly could to the man because I really wanted to look him in the eye. And it wasn't personal. It was business. And so I ended up being about 15 feet away from John Lewis, and I could see that he had about at minimal three layers of clothing on. And remind you, this was July. And so I realized that he was probably severely morphined up, and they layered these clothes on him to make him appear healthy. But when we left that rally that day, I called everybody. I said, look, John Lewis is going to be dead in a week. We need to start trying to figure out what the plan of action is going to be when he dies. And everybody, you know, they blew it off. And then we were at a political event and Harrison called me. He goes, he's dead. And that was within 3 days. And so, we kind of got, you know, going on her campaign, and she ended up getting 100% of the vote in the primaries. But through the course of the campaign, she fired me, and I ended up getting called over to the Dave Perdue campaign. And so being in Georgia, the GOP, coming from Chicago, I had a different vibe, and the GOP became very fond of me. The Georgia GOP became very fond of me while I was working there. And fast forward, you know, the election has happened, and, so, you know, we're so getting to the point.
Hold on a second. So you were working for a Democratic candidate at first then?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I was working with Angela. So John Lewis was the Democratic candidate,
right,
who has been
away.
Pretty much a titan in civil rights, yeah. Supposedly. My grandfather always said he got his claim to fame from getting knocked in the head. But
So now I'm tracking. So he passed away, and you realize it's going to be a fight for the seat. And so you were helping.
So actually, I was representing Angela, who was running against John Lewis.
Oh, okay.
And so I saw that, I was like, look, we need to change the plan of action. One, it would be almost impossible to beat John Lewis. However, whoever would come in behind him would be very beatable. And mm-hmm. So nobody knew for the longest time who it was going to be. And we got a call from Vernon Jones saying that, hey, it's going to be Nakima Williams. Nakima Williams used to be the head of Planned Parenthood. And Angela's, one of Angela's prime, probably her primary core stance was, and still is, abortion. And I kept telling her, I'm like, look, you know, this is Atlanta. We need to worry about economics and public safety. And she was gung-ho on thinking that she could beat Nakima Williams solely on the abortion issue. But we kept going, you know, I got her on the Breakfast Club, and she had a really great momentum. It's just, you know, we ended up clashing on strategy, and but it kind of all led me to getting a call from Harrison. I was sitting in the airport in Denver, and this was January 3rd. I had been skiing in Vail and was on my way back to Chicago. And he asked me, he said, hey, you know, have you heard of this woman, Ruby Freeman? And I, in, you know, scroll had, you know, saw something about it, didn't process it, didn't retain it. And he goes, look, you know, I'm getting some calls. She needs some help. I can't go. Can you go to Georgia? I've got her address. Can you go to Georgia and see what she needs? And for Harrison to be calling me, I was like, and telling me, hey, I need to go to Georgia. I'm like, you know, I'll do it. And the next day I got to Chicago that night previously. The next day I flew to Atlanta. Someone else who worked with Black Voices for Trump came and met me at the Amtrak station because I was coming in from the airport, and traffic in Atlanta is terrible. And so I said, look, I'm going to catch the MARTA to this stop, this Amtrak stop, and he picked me up and we drove 35, 40 minutes, however long it was, to Ruby's house. And we walked up the stairs, rang the doorbell. There was a Ring camera. And Garrison was actually two steps lower than me on the step on the, in her entryway and to go, you know, run, knock on her door and ring her doorbell. And he said, I see her right there. And so she was sitting in the window, so she didn't open, you know, the door. She didn't come to the door, but she was on the phone. And so just a few seconds later, we hear this screaming like, what you MFs want? And there's this big burly black woman across the street. And I said, look, you know, I don't want to be yelling out here. It's nighttime. Can we come over and talk to you? And I told her who I was. I said, look, I'm here. This is what I do. You can look me up. I'm here to help her. Tell her I need to get a hold of her. I'm here tonight and I'm leaving tomorrow. And so she gave her my number. She called, but I said it loud enough for Ruby to hear it because this woman had the phone in her hand specifically for Ruby to hear it. So I was kind of sending a message. Look, if you want to talk to me, it'll be tonight because if not, I'm out of here. And so.
And what'd you tell them you were there to do?
I said, look, I heard she needs some help. I got a call from someone who I think can help her. And this is, you know, from what I'm hearing, there's some hearing within 48 hours where they would be looking into Ruby and her daughter. And so that's really just what I told her. I told her everything that Harrison told me, you know, and so I didn't know at the time there had been this white pastor who had gone to Ruby's house and knocked on the door, but she didn't want to talk to him, supposedly because he was white. And he is the person who called Harrison and asked Harrison to go and talk to her. And Harrison couldn't do it, so he called me. And so we're going back. I hadn't eaten all day. I said, look, can we stop at Chipotle? Because I'm hungry. And so Garrison pulls over into Chipotle, and I order some food. He goes off. For some reason, he's down the parking lot of Chipotle on the phone. So I get back in the car because I'm hungry. I want to start eating my food. And phone rings, and it's a deputy, Maniqua Carney, asking me, is this my name? Was I just at this address? Who am I? What do I want? And I told her exactly what I told Ruby's neighbor. I was like, look, I can offer her some assistance. Apparently there's a hearing that's going to happen. And, you know, she said, okay, well, she said she can come and meet you tomorrow at 12:30. I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry. I'll be out of here tomorrow by 12:30. And so she hung up, called me back about 20 minutes later and said, hey, Ruby says she'll meet you at the Cobb County Police Department. Here's the address. So-and-so and so-and-so. Then I'm flagging Garrison down. I'm saying, hey, like, look, we got to go to this place. Because mind you, I didn't even get to the train station until 7:11. And then we had a drive to Sandy Springs and then driving back to Chipotle and then having to drive to Cobb County. We get this call from this captain at the police station say, don't come in the building when you get there. Call me when you get in the parking lot. So I called them when we got to the parking lot, and it took them about 30 minutes for us to even come in. So I'm looking at Garrison. I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to take in here? Because I don't know what they're going to do. So I just grabbed my ID and a couple of phones, and, you know, me and Garrison go to the police station. They come and they take our IDs. And then we wait another 20, 30 minutes. And so mind you, now it's about, you know, almost midnight. So finally we get into a holding room where Ruby is there and they escort me and Garrison in, which is what you see on the body cam. And, you know, I thanked her for taking the meeting. And I said, look, you know, first of all, I have no skin in the game. I'm here as a private citizen. You know, thanks for talking to me. However, this is the information I got. I got a word that, you know, within 48 hours, this is supposed to happen. You don't even have to deal with me. you know, but if you want the help, we can offer it to you. And that's when I called Harrison and put Harrison on the phone. Cause mind you, I really didn't have any skin in the game. I really just, you asked me to do something. I committed to doing it. And, but I wasn't fully informed because everything happened so quickly. And so, Harrison started talking to Ruby, asked Ruby what happened. I think he opened up with, you know, Ruby, have you ever seen the show Touched by an Angel? You remind, and I didn't even know what the show was. I had to go back and look. I think he was trying to reference Ruby to Della Reese. And so, Harrison was talking to Ruby and I could see that Ruby, for whatever reason, got uncomfortable. So I hung up on Harrison. Mm-hmm. And so I kept talking to Ruby just to kind of ease whatever was going on. And mind you, it was that COVID era. So she had on a mask. You really couldn't read anything but her eyes. And so I wanted to make sure that she understood, look, let's just talk. And this deputy was overseeing the meeting. And so I said, look, I don't know who's who here. I said, I really think that there are federal people involved and I can't talk in front of her. And I would like to talk to her in a more nonchalant way. And so Ruby agreed. She felt comfortable enough to tell the deputy to leave the room. And that is when me and Ruby really just started to talk. As much as I could try and learn about this situation on the plane to Atlanta from Chicago, the little bit that I could read up on it, I actually started talking to Ruby about what I actually found out and started asking her questions. And then like a flood, Ruby told me point by point, case by case, situation that, because she was just coming, she was on break. So she was explaining how when she came back to start working the election, everything had changed. Nothing was like before she left. And she mentioned a couple of coworkers who she implicated. And she said, look, these people don't care nothing about me. You know, she actually was glad that as she told me, she said, I'm glad you're here because I just need a lawyer. I just want to tell my story. I said, look, I'm a publicist. I can have you on CNN tomorrow if that's really what you want to do. But I wouldn't advise you to talk without a lawyer. She said, I know I need a lawyer. I know because the devil is a lie. I know y'all going to be so surprised. Y'all going to lose your mind when y'all find out what's going on. We kept talking. She started breaking down all the different situations. We got to everything except for who told all of the workers to leave when they were getting ready to, you know, stop the ballot counting.
So she was telling you things that go counter to the official narrative later on.
Oh, no question. Right. No question. And she knows it. She knows it to this day. It's awesome to have that Trump card on her. But it's because, it wasn't even a Trump card. I wasn't using it like that at the time.
Right.
You know, I'm really trying to help this woman. I'm like, look, okay, great. This is what happened. And she's like, look, these people came, they dogged me out. The FBI came, they dogged me out. Fulton County dogged me out. Them people don't care about me. And I know they don't care about me. All they wanted to do is make sure they cleaned off all of my social media. So could nobody find out what I was doing on election night? And I said, I think that might be frustrating. She said, they don't care nothing about me. The FBI don't, they all left me out here. People sending pizzas to my house, people showing up at my house. And I said, look, Ruby, so let's just talk. If you want, I know that there's a lawyer. We can get you a lawyer. I can have you a lawyer by 6 a.m. And, she said, well, And I'm now, because this was a 74-minute conversation, if you can imagine the conversation that happened. Mm-hmm. The conversation with Harrison and Ruby lasted about 5-6 minutes because I could see, I think there was a word that scared Ruby that, you know, Harrison was just trying to explain to her how, you know, we would be able to help her, but something triggered Ruby. And so I'm like, there's no reason for her to be triggered. So I just hung up on Harrison.
Yeah, gotcha. What was the outcome of your conversation with her? What did she decide to do?
She was like, she was so happy. She thanked me. I said, look, if you can give me your number, I can call you by 6 a.m. with a lawyer. She said, no, I've had to change my number 3 times. I can give you my email. And so I took her email. You know, thanked her. The deputy came back in. They escorted her to the station and then they escorted her home. And so, I emailed her at 5:53 because we had found an attorney for her and she didn't respond. So I think I waited until like 7 a.m. or something like that. I emailed her again and said, hey, are you here? You know, and then recollecting her conversation to her in her email, talking about her colleagues that were in, you know, how right. She was implicating them in this. So I referenced that in the second email that I'm like, look, they're going to hang you out to dry. I said, you've told me what these people did.
Can you show that to us? Do you have that email?
You know what? I do have all the emails. I do.
Yeah. Hey, you have a video you want to show us, right?
I sent you the link for the video. I thought that video, because I kept hearing, you know, there was 5 minutes before we came on. So I thought that video was going to play before I actually came on. Okay. It was an introductory video. So I was just like, I sent you a video to introduce myself.
Ah, and, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. You know, just that type of thing. That's and smart. That clip right there is from the BBC documentary of what. And so you should probably show that.
Okay, why don't we play that one? How much time we have left, guys? Hey, if you're cool with it, we'll go ahead and close out by playing that video. Where can folks follow you?
You can find me on X at Free Trevian, on Twitter. No, I'm sorry, on Instagram, I am Trevian Cutie. On Facebook, I am Trevian Cutie. And, my company is Trevian Worldwide. I work with everybody from the Eagles to your biggest cannabis, you know, multi-state operators in the world. So,
you know what? We'll play that when we come back in. I want to get your thoughts. Sure. In light of all you went through, you were wrongly accused of witness tampering, right? So that's the ultimate charge you with, and in election tampering. Yeah. So what do you think about what's happening right now with the raid by the FBI raid on the records department there, you know, on Wednesday?
You know, I bet my life that there was fraud in the 2020 election, and I ended up serendipitously doing something about it. And I know that there are people like Garland Favrito who there's the Moncler report and these people who have studied and diagrammed the chain of custody on how this election was stolen. I await the verification of fraud, and I definitely await the moment that all of us will be vindicated and compensated.
Amen. Including Rudy Giuliani, right? When it came to
of course. And I think I have a lot to offer Rudy to help him hopefully recover what he can. So,
and hopefully Ruby Freeman will speak the truth again.
She will never. It's too late. But the truth is already out there. So it's just a matter of time.
Amen. Amen. The truth will set us free. Well, hey, thanks for having you on. I'm sorry we ran out of time. And we'll show your video. In fact, Garland's coming up next. We're going to show your video first, and then Garland's going to jump in.
Perfect. Thanks for having me. This was a bucket list moment. Love InfoWars.
Thanks a lot.
Yahoo.
God bless you. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
All right, folks. Yeah, sorry you screwed that up. That's my fault. But we'll show her video when we start up the next segment, and we'll bring in Garland Favorito. He is like the designated hitter on election fraud in Georgia. The man with an expert on it. Stay tuned.
This new product is incredible. It's from our sponsor, Bigly, at theallshowstore.com. Optimal Human, you love the green powder. super nutrient, the very best out there? Well, this is optimal human nootropic called Mind Fuel. Introducing Mind Fuel, a super healthy, super strong energy nootropic adaptogen, which doesn't make you sick, doesn't have a letdown. It is incredible. Not just a few of the bottles. Look how many bottles are in there. And I only drink about a half a bottle a day. It's so strong. Look at that right there, ladies and gentlemen. So that's what comes in each box of this. And it is simply amazing. Osmo Human Nootropic Mind Fuel is here. This clean, caffeine-free energy shot is designed for clear thinking, steady focus, and zero compromise. It's time to abandon sugary energy drinks and stimulant-heavy formulas in favor of clean, functional, nootropic-based energy. Zero calories, sugar-free, no crash, no blood sugar spike, can be used daily without any guilt. Caffeine-free formula, smooth, clean energy, ideal for caffeine-sensitive users and late-day use. It's also got all these other incredible compounds like citicoline, alpha GPC, GABA, supports mental clarity and focus. It appeals to both biohackers and holistic consumers, high quality electrolytes and B vitamins. More than a brain shot, true functional fuel, optimal human nootropic mind fuel. That's the name of the product. Isn't just another energy product. It's a smarter alternative for consumers who demand clarity, control, and clean performance without compromise. Get 25% off for life when you become a subscriber, canceling time for free. Get Mind Fuel now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you've never tried the original superfood greens, optimal human, you really want to get this as well. It's the best green food I've ever had at thealexjonesstore.com. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, all sorts of cool collectible knives and more. And that's what funds us, and that's what does this. And I really appreciate your support because I can't do it without you. So I want to commend and thank the listeners. But just like I steered you right on gold and silver 2.5 years ago, I got out of the market before that. I said, now's the time. I was totally right. It's like I steer you right on politics. These products are incredible. Get our ultramethylene blue. It is the best in the market. Our Shilajit is the best. Our Irish Sea Moss is the best. Our turmeric is the strongest. Ultimate turmeric. TheAlexJonesStore.com. You are missing out. You don't get it. I want to thank those that have supported. I want to challenge those that haven't. What are you waiting for?
Just what I needed for my morning jog.
Working 12 to 13 hours a day, Mind Fuel keeps me on my toes and in the action.
Try this energy shot for a boost like no other. Power your mind and body today.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
One of the former president's co-defendants is from Chicago. Her name is Trevian Cootie, a high-profile publicist.
An hour plus. She was very comfortable. She told her story. She told what happened that night. But I wanted to try and get her a lawyer. That's what I was doing.
Okay.
And that was the end of the conversation.
All right, we're going to go that way. I'm going to keep right behind
her. She gave me her email. And so I emailed her. She didn't respond. I emailed her again. She didn't respond. I left Atlanta. But I was charged with attempting to intimidate a witness to give a false statement. I truly believe it was a global effort to stop Donald Trump's candidacy. I can't wait to bring her to justice. That's my job. I was completely, completely and fully wholesome with this woman for her best interest. Now I have to prove her wrong. And I, you know, at her age, normally I would have sympathy, but in this case, for the sake of this country, I don't.
That's the video of Trevian Kuti laying out what happened to her. So she hopes for justice, and I do too. We hope that this will be the beginning of justice finally being served 5 years later after the 2020 election steal. Now, next up we have a man that both our prior guests mentioned as the authority in Georgia on the election. That's Garland Favorito. Welcome, Garland, to the show.
Stuart, it's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's an honor, sir. Appreciate you coming on. Now, you have a clip you want to show us of your testimony to the Georgia Election Board. Is that correct?
Well, right. Maybe we can give a little background first to kind of set things up. So I know that everybody's interested in the FBI raid that occurred 2 days ago at the Fulton County warehouse. So I think it'd be good just to give you a little bit of background about how this came to play. So all the way back on November 14th of 2020, there was an audit conducted in Fulton County after the presidential race in Georgia was so close. Georgia mandates one race to be audited every two-year cycle, and the Secretary of State chose the race to be audited would be the presidential race. And that was the right thing to do, and he said we have to do a full hand count of it. So the Secretary of State ordered the full hand count. Again, the right thing to do. But the problem was when we conducted the audit, and I was there that day, the senior poll managers found counterfeit ballots in the audit. Well, how did they know they were counterfeit? They were mail-in ballots, but they weren't folded from being mailed. They weren't written with a pen or a pencil. They appeared to be toner copied. They weren't on the correct paper stock that a ballot's supposed to be on. And they were voted the same way down ballot for dozens of ballots in a row. So it appears that they were clearly counterfeit ballots.
So massive red flags right there.
Bingo. Right. Exactly, Stuart. So the problem, they brought this to the attention of the election officials who at that time, Nadine Williams was, doing the audit, and she's the director now of Fulton County. And the county and the state have no means or no mechanism to, deal with illegitimate ballots. So they just told the senior poll managers to keep on counting. Well, the poll managers, then went on, the next night, Sunday night, they all, six of them, four poll managers, who were auditors, and then two, audit monitors who were monitoring that, activity. They all signed sworn affidavits, and they were immediately put the following day on Monday into a case that Lynn Wood had. Well, Lynn's case was kicked out by a judge and who didn't really want to deal with the evidence. And so we filed our case on December 23rd of 2020. And it was too late to be an election challenge, but we filed it as an equal protection due process case, because if counterfeit ballots were injected into the count, that would dilute the votes of all the rest of us in Georgia.
Right.
So that's an equal protection issue, and it's also due process because it's certainly illegal to do. So we filed the case, and you're going to get a kick out of this. We were able to quickly get a hearing and get a protective order on the ballots. This is where the first protective order on those ballots that were raided this past couple of weeks. Guess what day that might have been? It was January 6th of 2021.
Oh, okay.
We were we were in court that day. It has a remote hearing, and the Fulton County officials panicked. We had to stop the hearing in the middle so they could go home to their houses because they were afraid that the building was going to be attacked. And we continued on the hearing, and the very next day, the judge ordered the protective order on those ballots. So we then proceeded with the case. We were about to inspect the ballots. We had gone on for 10 months ready to inspect the ballots, find out what happened. And suddenly the judge said we didn't have standing. So we appealed that to the Supreme Court. And because we knew that we had standing, and sure enough, the Supreme Court unanimously found that, yes, of course, anyone in Georgia has standing to sue a government agency or official who violates the law.
The Georgia Supreme Court, just to clarify.
That's right, the Georgia Supreme Court.
Right.
So they kicked that case back to the Fulton County. Fulton County has shuffled their feet for and played a shell game with us for months, and all the while telling the clerk, the court, that they have the ballots and that they're secure and everything.
How long ago was the order from the Supreme Court of Georgia?
Oh, December the 20th of 2022. 3 years ago, over 3 years ago, we won that case in the Supreme Court. We still didn't get to see the ballots.
So from 2023 all the way until now, 2022, all the way until now, just Wednesday, they refused to follow the order of the Supreme Court of Georgia.
Exactly. And because when the Supreme Court came back, they kicked the case back down, then that should have initiated discovery in the case in which we would have immediately got to see the ballots. Because it reactivated, but the key thing is it also reactivated the preserve order on the ballots. So that is what is preserved, and we had requested all the absentee ballots be preserved, and probably a dozen different types of electronic records, which we have since found out they don't have, and that's where this clip will come in handy.
Okay, let's go ahead and show this clip now.
So, okay, now I'll finish this story for you.
Sure. Yeah, let's do his testimony.
Thank you. This is a really important case. I want to first of all thank Joe. I'll be very quick. We won't take more than about 5 or 6 minutes. Joe and Rossi, and we got a little slide deck that they're going to show. And you've got a handout because I didn't know if you had could see or not. But I wanted to thank Joe and Kevin Moncla. I want to add just a couple of things. This is some information I'm going to give you. It's a combination of theirs, David Cross, Philip Davis, who testified before you on July 9th along with me about this case. And after the chairman sent it into executive session, which tried to prevent us from testifying. But anyway, just really quickly, I also want to thank Joe Meralda, who has a big piece on this. Let's just talk about something we can all agree on real quickly. This is the certification flow. Physical ballots are scanned. They produce ballot images. The ballot images are tabulated. They produce cast vote records. The cast vote records are aggregated, and they produce the statement of votes cast, which is certified. That's the certification flow. And what you're looking there is you can see that along that process, you have slog files from the scanning, TIFF and SHA files from the ballot images. TIFF is the image. SHA is the signature that verifies that image. And then the cast vote records, the CVR files, are produced as part of the certification process. And you can go to the second slide. To add to what Joe is saying, these are the missing electronic ballot sources that we have found as a result of the five individuals who I consider to be the experts in this case statewide. So Vice Chair Johnston just said, the 17,852 missing ballot images. These are some of the things that are in this case that we have talked about, the 380,000 ballot images missing. and 512 of the SHA files were missing. You total all that up, you've got about a million electronic ballot source records missing from the 2020 Fulton County election. And going to the third slide, we keep hearing that the counts matched up. And again, thanks to Joe's work and being dogmatic, we now know that they never have matched up. If you can look at the I put up here, these are actual certified published results from the Secretary of State. You've got a 4,880 vote difference between the recount and the original votes. The recount never matched what the or the hand count matched the original results. And thanks to Joe taking that to the governor's office, even the governor Kemp now agrees with us on that. There was only 852 ballots difference between the original and recount. But then I want to move you to the fourth slide. And this comes from someone you know, Philip Davis, who is the image expert who looked at this, 30-year career image analyst expert. And he identifies that even though it's an 852 difference, the actual difference when you compare all this is over 11,873 because you have 5,800 ballot images that were missing in the recount that were scanned in the original count. You have 3,930 double counted ballot images, as Joe has explained. 470 were double counted in the original count. You've got 1,330 new ballot images in the recount that were never in the original count. And then Philip Davis found about 250 test ballot images in the recount as well. So we can speculate as to motive and so on. I don't want to speculate. I just want to give you the facts. Those are the facts that were withheld from you by the Secretary of State's office for the last 5 years. And, close with one.
Oh.
I would ask you to pay very close attention with what Joe's
last. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I forgot there was one more piece that I was wanting to mention. But so what we found there is that they had backfilled the results, at least 16 or 17,000 votes, to make everything match up. And that's what I think will come out of this FBI investigation. They're going to find the same thing. They're basically there are not enough ballots to equal the certified votes that Fulton County assigned to in the 2020 election.
So you believe there's enough evidence that was preserved to be smoking gun to prove that there was a planned manipulation of the vote in Georgia?
Well, yes, and that's interesting, Stuart, that you mentioned. That's where I was going just before we played the video. But the Fulton County, when we went into the court, they have told the court that they have preserved the ballots, but yet they told me in open records request that they did not have them. So they can't be right, on both cases. It appears now that they were lying to me in the open records request, and rather than lying to all the courts, because there were actually seven different entities who wanted the ballots. There was the state election board who subpoenaed them, the DOJ criminal division, the DOJ justice, civil division. There were three civil cases that we had. I had two of them. Caroline Jeffords had one. She just filed that at the same time with us, originally. And then there was, Harrison Floyd's case. Harrison was on just, a little while ago. He was also seeking the ballots, in his case and, in that, persecution of Harrison,
right,
by Fannie Willis, who indicted 18 of her political adversaries with the bogus RICO charge, with every single aspect of her case was found to be not prosecutable by the prosecuting attorney's counsel of the state of Georgia. That's how bad that was. It was the greatest prosecutorial misconduct of all times, I believe.
Next to J6. Or right up there with J6, right?
Oh, yes. I beg. Yes. I'll have to defer to you on that one.
You bet.
That was horrible. You're absolutely right.
Well, hey, it's all connected. It is the coup that they pulled. And if you dared to challenge the coup, like all of us did, they're going to hammer you any way they can. But in each one of those cases, they refuse to turn over the records. And so now it takes the new FBI under Trump to get back in there with Tulsi Gabbard leading the charge to finally get access to the records. Is that correct?
Yes. And, you know, Tulsi was there. Deputy Director Andrew Bailey is he was hit there on site. He apparently is driving this. Hats off to him. And, of course, Tulsi has found much more information that indicates foreign influence into the election. She mentioned that in a cabinet meeting. Yeah.
That's why she was there. That's right.
Yes. And we don't know exactly what the foreign influence connections are. However, we do know that the Dominion voting system that we use here statewide in Georgia has some severe issues in that it was never legitimately certified. We know now from expert witness testimony that it is, in fact, they're all interconnected worldwide through what we call X.509 certificates with common shared values. No matter what state you're in, you have a common shared value to get into the other systems. You have a common password. All of which violates the certification standards under which it was allegedly certified in 2019. And those standards go all the way back to 1985. So it's not certifiable. It's been remotely accessed. We now have the discovery emails showing that it's programmed and maintained in Serbia. It was, at least. And that the Serbians had actually accessed the systems here in Georgia in the 2020 Gwinnett County election, and as well as the 2021 U.S. Senate.
So there's legitimate foreign connections, which is exactly why it's appropriate for Tulsi Gabbard's DNI to be involved in this investigation.
Right.
And in contrast to the made up Russia collusion hoax, it's really funny that they claim there was election interference by Russia. And so when they're claiming it, it's okay, right? To raise foreign involvement. But the truth is there really was foreign involvement, just not Russian collusion with Trump. It was actually collusion for the big steal of 2020.
Exactly. And now we found that out, you know, thanks to Tulsi's investigation, where she discovered that it was John Brennan who was behind the fake steal dossier. And then, of course, Comey also propagated that, all apparently at the direction of former President Obama.
Do you think so? I believe that the CIA's fingerprints are all over what I call the COVID coup of 2020. All over J6. I think their fingerprints are all over everything. What do you think?
Well, they're all over elections for sure, and all this fake narrative, you know, all these things that election deniers, big lie, all these terms they've come up with, they are clearly coming from the Central Intelligence Agency. They're all speaking from the same sheet of music. So, and in addition, Stuart, the media.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the Church Committee found in 1975 that there were 200 media, CIA media assets worldwide. I wonder how many there are today.
Other than InfoWars, you know, or Gateway Pundit. So very, very few exceptions. But I would think among all the mainstream media, I would say all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was confirmed, you know, as recently as 2016 in the book Prestitutes, still showing the CIA influence. So that's a big thing. Of course, and thanks to DOGE, they defunded a significant part of that through the USAID. So things are certainly moving in the right direction.
That's a book I have not read. I got to read that one. Hey, so the crew here handed me another headline. It says investigators can't find Fulton County's zero tapes, board says.
Right.
Member of the state election board revealed that the tapes used to verify that ballot counters started their count at zero, it'd be missing. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, that was, you know, I mentioned that there were a million missing records. Well, some of those include the zero tape. So a zero tape, you have to ensure that the counts and everything are set to zero. in the beginning when you start today, and there should be a zero tape. Well, all the zero tapes of Fulton County were missing. So we don't know if the systems could have been preset or not because we don't have the zero tapes.
Gotcha. Hey, you had one more clip you wanted to show. This is a clip you made basically thanking Tulsi Gabbard and the FBI for getting on it, right? Let's show that clip.
Yeah, I thought it's a cute little clip. I thought you'd get a kick out of it.
We worked so hard for almost 6 years for our legal right to these election records. Thank you, DOJ and FBI, for seizing Georgia election records so we will have truth. Hopefully, you will return to Georgia and pick up a few more truckloads.
Showing the machines.
Proprietary systems just don't provide election security, and we cannot keep allowing foreign interference in our elections. Again, thank you, DOJ and FBI. We need honest elections before the 2026 primary.
Make sure I understand this. They did not take the Dominion machines, but you're hoping they come back for those also.
Yeah, the machines are unsecure. We use them statewide. They accumulate votes in a QR code that the voter cannot see and verify. The President of the United States has issued an executive order 10 months ago to order the EAC to decertify the QR coded voting systems, which includes both the Dominion Democracy Suite system and the ES&S Express Vote, which are two of the most popular systems today. They should not be used in 2026 midterms, and they should not be used in the 2026 general election. They are simply not trustworthy for a variety of reasons.
And you believe that President Trump has the authority to prevent that from happening?
Well, ideally, we would like, Congress. So first of all, the president has the authority to make sure the laws are upheld.
Right.
We would like Congress to pass a law to implement this part of President Trump's executive order. If they don't act, if Congress fails to act, then I would argue, Stuart, that we have a national election security crisis. I mean, we're sitting here with voting systems that they have told us are not remotely connected or not internet connected, and that we've now got concrete, provable evidence that they are and have been connected to the internet.
We're running out of time, but isn't it true, though, that already, like you said, they're in violation? They don't pass muster under the requirements of HAVA, the Help America Vote Act, right? These machines are not certifiable as being secure.
At least the ones we're using in Dominion, and that we have a court case right now where the EAC is supposed to, their deadline for responding is tomorrow, literally. We're trying to get these machines out of Georgia right now, the Dominion series.
Well, we need that nationwide. Hey, girl, we're running out of time, but I want to thank you for coming on. How can folks follow you and find you online?
Well, thanks, Stuart. It's voterga.org. We are an all-volunteer organization. We don't take salaries here. We are 501c3 tax-deductible donations, and they can be made a triple match from now until tomorrow by a generous donor.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. bodybuilders take is it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Alex Jones.
How would you describe him?
He's a hugely influential conspiracy theorist.
His ravings are untethered from reality.
It's a nasty piece of work, but I think he's also a deflating windbag.
He's not right in the head.
I'm very pro-free speech, and the word dangerous is used far too liberally. In his case, I think it's actually justified. Yeah.
Could he be a threat to American democracy?
Everyone thinks he's a crazy motherfucker, and they never heard him talk. They think he's just nuts. And he is crazy, he is. But you gotta be crazy to stand in front of the world and put your ass on the line and say the things he's saying. So you gotta be a little crazy. It's like a rock star, like Axl Rose, oh, he's crazy. Yeah, he's Axl fucking Rose.
There is a war for your mind.
Information is to unlock.
Information war.
I come to you with a spring in my step, a song in my heart, emotionally and spiritually refreshed, because you know how, as humans, we have to accept the fact that sometimes bad things happen to good people? Well, by the grace of God, sometimes bad things happen to Alex Jones.
That's a good thing.
The despicable and ridiculous Alex Jones
deserves every minute of torture.
I don't like giving people like Alex Jones a platform, but what do you do? He's out there.
Tucker Carlson continues to fawn over Jones, calling
him one of the most important truth tellers in America today.
What does it mean for the future of InfoWars?
InfoWars.com.
This is InfoWars, right?
I think everybody wants to know, will
he be shut down?
This verdict shuts down Alex Jones? Good.
I guess the good guys just won the InfoWars.
He is the number one threat to these people.
Take the bullhorn away.
You know, kicked us off the internet, tried to ban our IP, got banks to cancel us, lawsuits, censorship, investigations from the FBI. I mean, everything has been thrown at us.
Take him out. Make certain he can't rebuild the platform.
That's what matters.
I hope that we never see someone like him again.
InfoWars.com lives. People can come to my show every day, 11 a.m. Central, and they can hear what I'm actually saying, Piers, versus what you're trying to put in my mouth.
You got God's warriors coming together like the SWAT team of free thought.
It has become more than ever a litmus test as to whether you get what's going on in the world or not.
This is InfoWars, right?
If you don't get what Alex Jones represents, if you can't recognize that Alex Jones is the real deal, you don't get anything.
We're going to give this information on InfoWars.
So no concept of the wider perspective here. If you still can't see through the lies that are telling you that Alex Jones is somehow not who he says he is, you still can't get it.
We've been fighting this battle for a long time, Alex, and we just got to salute you as a Christian and as American, because you paved the way to make braver soldiers like us today.
This is about good versus evil and God fighting the devil. You got to pick a side now.
InfoWarriors.
All we ever do is promote human freedom of every race, color, and creed. Our message is really imperative for everyone to understand, like, this is the way out. It's about understanding that every single human being has a right to live their life the way they want, unmolested and uncontrolled by those with more power than them. So no matter what they say about us, no matter how they want to portray us, just know that InfoWars really represents something totally unique, totally special, and an existential threat to the most vicious, evil, totalitarian, and importantly, miserable people on the earth. Who is the number one player in all of this? Who is the number one symbol of alternative media and, you know, internet content. It is
the legend that is Alex Jones, and you were fighting on the front line, and now we're here with you. You got some other superheroes, part of the Avenger movie, fighting for Christ and free speech.
Folks, we really are going to save this country. We really are going to save this planet.
On InfoWars, think about that for a second.
They're going to remember Alex Jones. They're going to remember InfoWars.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of, like, thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue. And the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Stuart Rhodes. Watch it live right now at fan.video.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm Stuart Rhodes, founder of Oath Keepers, filling in today. I'm back on X. You can find me at Real Oath Keepers. Come check out what I'm doing. You knock on wood, I won't get suspended again. And also, if you want to support my work, you can go to givesendgo.com/oath. It's givesendgo.com/oath. Support my work as I rebuild Oath Keepers. Now, also, please go to the AlexJonesStore.com and buy some of the products. In World War II, Patton's only limitation was the gasoline for his tanks. And InfoWars is very much the same. If you want them to keep driving on by telling the truth and calling out the bad guys and going to the heart of the deep state every day, you got to give them the fuel. And the fuel is what you purchase that helps you. All the great supplements at the AlexJonesStore.com will help them drive on with the InfoWar. So I really encourage you to do that. Bringing our new next guest is going to be Brian Lupo. That's CanCon. He's a U.S. Marine Corps combat vet. My Marine Corps brother from another mother. So I want to bring Brian in. What's up, brother?
Hey, Stuart. How you doing, brother? Good to see you.
Good to see you again. I was just on your show, about a week and a half ago?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. Yeah, it was a good time.
It was. Now, lots happened since. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on what's going on now with this raid in Georgia?
Yeah, so, you know, the last 2 weeks, especially in the election integrity movement, have been absolutely phenomenal, banger weeks. 2 weeks ago, we had Garland played that clip from him doing the presentation there at the state election board in Georgia. But before that, Joseph Rossi, who worked with Garland, did a presentation where he finally got to offer somewhat of a rebuttal to this now famous complaint, state election board complaint 2023-025. And this complaint was drafted by Joseph Rossi and Kevin Moncla, and it's an absolute banger of a report. And during that state election board hearing, Rossi got to kind of show you one of the things that the Secretary of State's office in their investigation completely overlooked. And that was that in Georgia, when they went from the machine count to the hand count, which was the second count, they did three total there in Georgia. Georgia had to make up essentially almost 7,000 ballots. I think the number was 6,691. And during the hearing, you know, they had told us when this came out, Governor Kemp, you know, validated it, said that yes, Joe Rossi's findings are correct. So the governor of Georgia is validating these findings. Well, the really shocking part was that Joseph Rossi showed you, and this is the work of Phil Davis here, that they took these batches of ballots that they double and triple scan to get the counts to where they're supposed to be. And they basically took, you know, a couple ballots from this batch, a couple ballots from this batch, mm-hmm. a couple ballots from over here. They shuffled them all together in a completely new batch and then ran them through on a whole new tabulator on a whole new day as if to obfuscate the fact that it was, you know, rescanned ballots. And this is how they were able to get that number to line up to the 147,000 mail-in ballots that they had in Fulton County, absentee ballots. And I mean, that's exactly what they did. And they told us that, you know, oh, this was just a human error. Somebody must have accidentally double or triple scanned these ballots. And it was just a technical glitch. Nothing to see here. They signed a consent agreement, basically saying we won't do this again, right? We're not going to do this again. No big deal. This was, you know, as Joe Rossi said, this was human intervention, and that's a predicate for election fraud.
Now, what they're showing right now is actually from election night, right, when they supposedly had a water main break, but yet they continued to do the count. Can you explain what the audience is seeing right now in this video?
Yeah, so this was the State Farm Arena, and this is a very concerning video for me because you see – you know, this taking place after all the poll workers and everything left. And, you know, if you go back and watch the video, you can see one of the women actually cut the blue seal on one of these ballot containers, take the ballots out and then start to scan them again. And you can see the woman up there in the top left in the purple. She actually scans a ballot what appears to be two or three times. Then the video goes dark after that. And this is probably, I would say off the top of my head, I want to say it's like 11 o'clock at night, 11:15, somewhere around there. The media had only left at that point, you know, for maybe 10, 15 minutes that the media had left. And then the video goes dark and nobody, I've searched everywhere. And again, if somebody has the video of the whole entire night of them scanning without the media, email me cancon@cancon.net. I would love to see it. I've asked everywhere, never been able to get it. It's like a phantom image. I did a FOIA request, an open records request, as they call it in Georgia. And they told me that I would have to come in to see this video. They have it. Charlene McGowan, the Secretary of State's general counsel, said that they do in fact have this video in its entirety, but that I would have to go in there physically in person to view it. And I said, name the date. I have the emails. I said, tell me when. And it went dark. They didn't email me. Hmm. This was like six or seven months ago. I emailed them again like a month ago and said, hey, I'm following up. I would like to come up there. Please tell me when I could come up. I've never heard back from them.
Well, I mean, that's the next stop for Tulsi Gabbard right there. Is she aware of that? I wonder.
Yeah, that's a good question if she's aware of it. It's on the record, with emails between Charlene McGowan and Dr. Jan Johnston of the State Election Board. There's emails where Dr. Johnson was requesting to see it and Charlene McGowan said that they have this entire video. So I'm waiting to see it. This is the subject of numerous lawsuits. You know, this is what they kind of raked Rudy Giuliani over the coals about, and we haven't seen the whole thing.
I mean, yeah, I mean, whatever we can do, let's put our heads together with Ivan afterwards and talk about this. We got to do something because you got to preserve that evidence. You know,
absolutely.
Whatever we have to do, let's do it. I'm with you on that one. I'll go with you to go look at it.
If we get, let's
me,
do it.
It's you,
let's
me, and
it.
Ivan. That sounds like a plan. You had a clip you wanted to show from ABC News.
Absolutely.
What are we going to see in this clip?
So we know that the Fulton County Elections Hub and Operations Center was searched by the FBI. They obtained a search warrant to, I think they wanted physical ballots, all tabulator tapes, ballot images that they have, and the voter registrations, the voter rolls that were used in the 2020 election. Now, thanks to Garland Favrito and some other litigation in Georgia, all of those records are preserved, right? They have an injunction that they have to maintain these records beyond the statute that they're required to, 22 months under federal law. So we have these records, allegedly. What we're seeing now is them trying to hold them accountable. That search warrant, I believe, was based a lot on State Election Board Complaint 2023-025. and 2021-181. And that's the counts that I was talking about earlier, the 6,700 ballots that were added in. If you read the 2023-025 complaint, most of these records do not exist. Okay. We saw the Federalist article from late December about the 315,000 ballots that don't have signatures on the poll tapes. It's a lot worse than that. They have no zero tapes like Garland was alluding to. They have 9 out of 137 that they're supposed to have. They have 9. Mm. And the excuse, I wrote an article about this, on the Gateway Pundit, I think a week and a half ago or so. The excuse that the state, that the Fulton County, deputy attorney gave to Kevin Moncla in his open records request was that these are, like old style receipts, like you get it like Home Depot or the grocery store or whatever, and that they faded out from being requested so many times and handling them that they faded out. And so they gave them what they have, and that's that. Well, the problem with that is if they've been requested so many times and they're faded from handling, then you have those requests previously and you just send the records that you've already sent to other people, but they didn't do that. Then the other problem with that is that, the attorney in Fulton County said that they, were in the custody of the Secretary of State, that they maintain the originals, which would imply that Fulton County has, photocopies, and photocopies are not, you know, that thermal, old style receipt, and they should be maintained. So they don't exist as far as we can tell, the zero tapes that show that there were no ballots loaded on there. We don't have the closing tapes that are signed. They're not signed by, you know, the 3 election officials as required by Georgia regulation. So yeah, if you want to go ahead and play that video, you know, you can show how inept the mainstream media is.
John, we've also been following that FBI raid today at an election hub in Fulton County, Georgia. What stands out to you from what we know so far?
Well, you know, frankly, Andrew, forgive me for being direct, but this is nuts. This is all relitigating the election in Georgia in 2020, which is the most litigated election in the history of American presidential elections. You remember, just a little bit of background on this. In Georgia, they actually counted the ballots 3 times. They counted them after Election Day. Then they did an entire recount by machine after the election. And then they did a hand recount of some 5 million ballots. It took days and days before they had an official result as a result of that. The Republican governor, Brian Kemp, said the election was perfectly safe. The Republican Secretary of State said that the election was an accurate one. Trump told him to find 11,780 ballots, precisely the number that he would have needed to win. Apparently, he's still trying to find those ballots after all these years.
Do you chalk that up to being inept or complicit?
I don't know if they just, I genuinely don't know if these are just, you know, talking heads that are out there for a paycheck and don't actually do any sort of research whatsoever beyond just what the authoritative sources tell us. And by the authoritative sources, I mean the beneficiaries of fake and stolen elections. And that's what we're looking at right here in Georgia. Yeah. Governor Kemp came out and said that Joe Rossi's findings were accurate, that they were correct. As far as the counts, John Carl has it completely wrong there. It didn't go machine count, hand count. It went machine count, hand count, machine count, the second machine count being the certified results. The problem is that they deleted 376,000 of the ballot images from the first machine count. So there's no way to go back and verify that the first machine count and the second machine count, which is the certified results, are actually the same ballots. You cannot go back and check that out. And we showed you, I showed you in the Rossi segment there how they had to make up 7,000 ballots, almost 7,000 ballots, in order to make the numbers match. So this is just what you see from the mainstream media. You know, no widespread fraud. They just regurgitate the talking point.
It's the Mockingbird media. That's what they
are. Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the article, let me get your article here and get me upon it. If we can walk us through this real quick. So what were your findings in this?
So these aren't my findings, to be fair. You know, this is the work of Kevin Moncla, Joe Rossi, Garland Favorito, who you just had on, was involved in this. A slew of people, Phil Davis. I'm sorry if I'm forgetting names, but this was a report. Cleta Mitchell posted this report out. It's out in the open now. And it lays out 26 counts, you know, what they call counts. Not every single one is a violation of law, but it lays out 26 instances where Fulton County was just absolutely atrocious in either their handling of the records, destruction of records, the way that they handled the machines. The machines in Fulton County were using software from Dominion that was not certified. They told us that initially, they had to make a de minimis update to the system because when they ran the primary, there was the logic and accuracy test. There were, two races that were kept off of the main screen on the Senate. And so they had to change that so that it worked is what they told us. In all actuality, they actually wrote new software and put that on all these systems. Brad Raffensperger sends this out to 34,000 machines across Georgia and says, hey, you got to get this uploaded before you run the election. There was no logic and accuracy testing done as mandated by law. And, you know, quite frankly, that's really concerning considering, you know, you're running on a machine, as Garland alluded to in his segment, that has been shown to be hackable in federal court. J. Alex Halderman and Curling v. Raffensperger was able to hack these systems with nothing but a $10 CAC card that you can buy on Amazon. And in doing so, the most concerning part, Stuart, is that one of the hacks that he was able to do prints out a ballot. So the BMDs that they use in Georgia, throughout Georgia, you vote on a touch screen and it prints out the ballot that shows you what your votes on paper are. But the vote itself is contained in a QR code, so you're not actually validating your vote. One of the things Halderman was able to do in that trial was make it so that when you look at the physical paper ballot, I think he used George Washington versus Thomas Jefferson, it shows you that you voted for George Washington on the paper ballot. But on the QR code, when you tabulate it, it's a vote for Thomas Jefferson.
Wow.
And so, Okay. Yes, that's extremely concerning. I mean, just the fact that you were able to do that, you know, on a handful of machines in Fulton County, that the machine cannot be trusted. Whether or not it happened, we'll figure out. That's what this search warrant in part will disclose.
So from that alone, no such machine should be used for any election nationwide. And so what do you hope President Trump does next when it comes to making sure? I mean, I'm concerned that our primaries, they have to be legitimate. They have to be clean elections in our primaries. How else are we, the America Firsters, going to purge out, you know, the uniparty rhinos inside the Republican Party? So what do you want to see going forward? What do you hope he does?
Well, you know, and your point about the primaries is spot on, because the primaries are how you get out the establishment uniparty characters from the main election. If you have, you know, I would rather clean up the primaries than the general election. I mean, I want them all cleaned up. As far as what President Trump can do, I mean, you got to use the power of the purse. If Congress is not going to act, if Congress is not going to get off their ass, and I know the preemptive clause in Article 1, Section 4 only allows them to make laws for federal elections. Well, then separate the elections. Make it a law that you cannot conduct federal elections on voting machines. They have to be hand counted, hand marked paper ballots at the precinct level. And if you separate those elections, the most races that you would ever have on a ballot is three: your House of Representatives, your Senator, and the President of the United States. That's the most you will ever have. That can be hand counted at the precinct level in a matter of hours.
Well,
hours.
Isn't it true that, I think it's a, you know, snowball's chance in hell that Congress is going to do anything to improve our elections between now and the primaries, let alone the midterms. So can't President Trump right now simply enforce federal election law and say these machines, whatever machine they are, do not and cannot meet the standards of the Help America Vote Act? Isn't that true?
Well, you know, as far as I know, the EAC, the regulations that they have on the machines and the certifications and all that stuff, it's all essentially it's voluntary. But if you don't comply with their regulations, then you don't get funding. And so President Trump does have the power of the purse, I believe, in this regard. And, you know, you look at how much funding has gone into elections over the last, you know, cycle with, you know, Zuckerbucks and everything else, withhold their funding. If these states are going to continue to use machines that don't have a voter verifiable vote on them, or if they're going to centralize all of your votes into one location and have millions and millions of ballots counted in one place, you know, that decentralization creates corruption. I mean, it makes it so that it's chaos. And that's how you're able to, you know, import 64 boxes of ballots like the Gateway Pundit uncovered in the 2020 election in Michigan.
So what do you hope? I mean, I was glad to see Tulsi there, because otherwise I'd have been like a lot of other black pill MAGA people. They're like, we don't believe anything we see out of the DOJ or the FBI. They would think it's this window dressing for the midterms to trick us into voting Republican again. So, but I think Tulsi being there sends a different message. But what do you think about that?
You know, as DNI, I mean, she is essentially the hub for all intelligence. And, you know, that doesn't just mean foreign intelligence. There's military intelligence. We have domestic intelligence agencies. So, you know, I'm kind of lost on everybody wondering why, you know, she's involved, as if there is, you know, some sort of foreign interference. Now, could there be? Yeah, absolutely. I think the Serbia holds a lot of credibility. And I definitely think that's something that needs to be looked into. The concern I have with this is that the warrant itself doesn't call for, as at least what we're seeing so far. Now, this is under seal, so there could be more to it. But the warrant itself right now does not call for the seizure of the machines. So I'm not entirely sure what we're going to get in that regard.
Right.
But again, there could be parts of this that are sealed that we're just not privy to.
Yeah, that's what I was talking with Garland about that. Hopefully that's the next shoe to drop, is the machines get seized all over Georgia. And I'm not sure how beneficial that'll be after the fact, but it can't hurt, right?
Right. Part of the state election board complaint is 10 tabulators that they uncovered, that there's records that they do not exist, and they're responsible for scanning over 20,000 ballots in the 2020 election in Fulton County. And I think that, you know, we could see something like a remote tabulator that was used to conduct the election. I've had discussions with technical experts on my shows and whatnot, talking about the ability for them to use remote tabulation systems for this. So that is very interesting that Tulsi Gabbard was there on the ground. And, you're starting to see reports that the FBI was reluctant to conduct this.
I'm not surprised.
Well, there's going to be more coming out on that very soon.
Yeah. Cutting which way?
Well, just telling the story why they want to. I mean, now, don't get me wrong. What's going on right now is, as far as I can tell, is so far on the up and up. But prior to that, there were some people that were very reluctant to do their job.
My sense of what's happening, this is after being with Ivan for 2 weeks in D.C. and just, you know, going there and watching sausage being made. My sense is that Tulsi Gabbard and her team are the only people that are actually interested in taking down the deep state, you know, aside from maybe from Robert Kennedy Jr., but the FBI and the DOJ, I think they're all rotten. And Tulsi is probably pushing them against their will to do, you know, what she wants them to do. And I hope she keeps pushing. But I really think this is what I fear, is that this will help Kiyash Patel and Pam Bondi retain their positions when they should be fired. And that by them participating in what Tulsi's doing, this will help give them cover to hang on to their positions and continue to spike the Trump presidency. Look at Todd Blanche this morning. It was horrible. An absolute disaster when it comes to truth-telling, when it comes to the Epstein files. So what your thoughts on that?
So I haven't doomed out over that just yet. I still have a lot of faith in Kiyash Patel. I've read his government book. Yeah, I do.
I read his book too, brother. I read it when I was in prison. I got zero faith in Kiyash Patel.
After 2026, my faith will dwindle very quickly. But for right now, I think that unraveling all of this is a massive, complex racketeering case on just about every front, whether it's Epstein, the elections, whether it's the J6 Fedsurrection, and it's not something that can be done overnight. And I know everybody wants to see something, because we do have a very short window, right? 4 years, maybe more. But I, you know,
we got six months, brother.
I know. But we've got 6 months unless we fix the elections.
Yes. Well, that's the problem.
The elections, and that's why I think we're seeing the movement here. I predicted this back in April of last year at one of our events in Las Vegas. I said that the first thing we're going to see is election integrity, and it's going to come early 2026.
We're running out of time, but thank you for being on, brother. God bless you. I'll have you back on again when I'm back on here again sometime. Take care.
All right, Stuart. Thanks for having me, brother. Appreciate you.
I have told the folks at Bigley, I said, I want to have the widest selection of combat daggers, trench knives, folding knives, you name it. They're high-quality brands that you buy in bulk that are very competitively priced. And then support the broadcast, because I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in. And they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives that I went out and told them what brands I liked, what was going on, and they were able to get it. And so a bunch of the knives that sold out a few months ago, they're back in. And then these bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. This is a great knife. This knife sells in stores for $75 all day long. We're selling it for 40-something and even bigger discounts, up to 50% off right now. Some of these knives are as low as $20 a piece. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. Go there now. We've got also the murdered out black, and I love how it's that kydex, and it's got that real fine engraving on it, so it gives you that great feeling, that great, because I got sent hundreds of knives from dozens of companies, and I'm the one that chose all these. And these are from really good companies, really good quality, and it's just a great deal. And so do your knife shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. But let me tell you what's back in stock. We have the new ones, Alex Jones Blackout Folding Knife, 7.65 assisted opening folding knife, 3.5 high carbon Damascus blade, 1095 plus 515 N20. This is all quality. D2 steel, black PVD coating, and stonewash finish, 3.3 millimeter black thickness, black G10 handle for a secure grip, 15.5 millimeter handle thickness for confident hand feel, ball bearing pivot system for smooth deployment. I mean, it's a nice quality knife. All black, blackout finished. I call it murdered out. Fast, decisive, assisting, operating, limited production, live before it sells out. And then we've got the same knife, but it's silver blade folding knife. If you like that, it's got a nice little hook on the end so you can tie it to things. The forest green folding knife that is my close second, really a sexy knife. Same as the other one, it's just got that forest green. Call it forest, it's kind of like an in-between forest and olive. It's nice, kind of Border Patrol. I call it Border Patrol green. Let's change the name, Border Patrol green. That's actually what it is. This bad boy. These all sold out, but they always hold back a few hundred in case orders come in later or whatever. So tip of the spear, Spartan, trench knife with brass knuckles, murdered out, and the skull crusher. A few hundred of those. They held back a few of these. It had sold out, but there's about 200 left. The Life Fire with this beauty limited edition. That funds the operation as well. It's a little different. The skull crusher isn't as big. Alex Jones Phantom folding knife. This has been sold out. They only got 500 of these the first run, sold out in one day. It is packed. They got 1,000 of them, and it's just a great knife. Really sleek, but really strong, very well made. And you've got it in orange, Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. I like that. Now we've got the Alex Jones Ring Blade. This sold out the quickest last time. That's an amazing product. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue and take advantage of the very best supplements in the world. We'll be right back. Thanks for funding the Second American Revolution worldwide.
Welcome back to the War Room. This is our final segment. We're going to bring in the Deep State Marauder, Ivan Raiklin. Before we do that, though, I want to encourage you to go to the Alex store, alexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com, and make a purchase to help fund the InfoWar, this awesome crew. I've known these people for 16 years now, and I've never seen them falter. I've never seen them fail. To tell the truth. That's why I'm sitting here. I'm honored to be here today to fill in for the War Room. This Patriot Silver Knife, you can get this on in the store right now. It's a great little liner lock knife with a paddle to flip it open with one finger like that. It's a pretty good design. So I encourage you to go on the store there and buy one of those, or if you really want to go big, you can get one of these trench knives that are half off right now. 50% off on the trench knife. That's basically almost like a Roman short sword. Almost like a Roman short sword. So Ivan Ranklin's coming up in a second here. One thing I wanted to highlight for you is that Cam Higby posted on X about the Mayor Katie B. Wilson of Seattle announcing that she's going to use her police department, her sheriff's department, or Seattle PD, I mean, to do essentially what they were doing with on Signal in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. She's doing it right out in front, not trying to hide it. She's going to use her police department to facilitate and assist the obstructionists in targeting ICE, feeding them information about where ICE is operating, doing all they can to assist in the direct obstruction of the execution of federal law. This is exactly what the Insurrection Act was written for. It's just beyond me why President Trump will not invoke the Insurrection Act. I believe he needs to. Otherwise, this is only going to grow. Like she says here, she's directing SPD, that's the Seattle Police Department, to investigate, verify, and document ICE activity. And then mandate that the Seattle Police Department verified information is shared with community partners. That means all the whistleblowing, car ramming, obstructionist, crazy Karens, and other guys like Petty or Preddy, who are going to go and you know, kick out the taillights of ICE vehicles and whatever else they're going to do to obstruct. Invest $4 million to support immigrant communities. And that will mean basically assisting with funding the harboring of illegal aliens, which is a federal offense, aiding and abetting illegal aliens, which is a federal offense. And like I said, to facilitate and fund, probably going to see, you know, pallets full of bricks, for example, being magically appearing in the street that'll be thrown at ICE agents. So now you have the Seattle mayor openly declaring she's going to use government resources, including her police department, to assist these obstructionists, these terrorists. So that's what's happening. That crosses a line. It's one thing to say that a police department does not have to assist ICE and can just sit on their hands. That's one thing. They can do that under law. What they can't do is assist in obstruction or assist in harboring illegal aliens. And I believe when they fail to notify ICE, when ICE asked them, do you have illegal aliens in your jail, for example, Seattle PD, and the Seattle PD tells them no, I believe that's harboring an illegal alien, and they should be charged for it. This is crossing the line. This is open obstruction and conspiracy to obstruct federal law enforcement doing their job. So I'll bring that to your attention. Another one is something that Elon Musk had retweeted, and this is a good one. He's retweeting a post by Arthur McWaters about the difference between what we saw in prior administrations in prior year, 2024, May 2024, all the way up, what we see now. And he says here, prior administrations deported millions of people and riots were basically non-existent. And Elon Musk said, well, they must be hiding something very big in Minnesota to send their foot soldiers there from all over the country. And that's, of course, quite true. What they're hiding is what was already been disclosed through the good work of ground zero people's journalists in the street. Okay, I was coming on. So this is what's happening, though, is that only now, only because of the fact that they've been exposed for the fraud in Minnesota, that's why they're kicking up, they're amping up their insurrection. But as Ivan and I have both been talking about for quite a long time, This is what you're going to see going forward into this year. It's going to get worse and worse and worse into the summer unless President Trump drops the hammer with the Insurrection Act. So, hey, Ivan Raichlin, welcome to the show.
Hey, Stuart. Good to see you hosting again.
What's up, brother? Good to see you again. We were just together in Washington, D.C. Like last week, right? That was a whirlwind. So
it was quite the roller coaster.
It was
for the deep state.
You got it. So Ivan Raichlin, for those who don't know, is a retired special forces lieutenant colonel, lawyer, and he is the Secretary of Retribution. That's his official title.
Yeah, America's Secretary of Retribution.
There you go, America's Secretary of Retribution.
No affiliation to any political party or candidate.
Or
administration official.
While we were in D.C., you and I were praising the work of Tulsi Gabbard. So it was fantastic to see her directly involved in the raid in Georgia. So I want to get your thoughts on that. What do you think about that?
Yeah, the only person in this admin that I see consistently hitting grand slams, sometimes they're inside the park grand slams, sometimes they're just, in the upper deck, is Tulsi Gabbard with the releases. Because you got to look at – you have to – measure and grade someone based on the authorities that they have in the position. So disclosures, pulling clearances, firing people, downsizing the DNI. She just consistently, just with a nice cadence, pushing it out. And yesterday's raid, a lot of people on the other side are saying, oh, how, what? There's no authority. Well, I want to refer you to some executive orders that grant the authority to the Director of National Intelligence and components of the Director of National Intelligence to actually look into federal elections when there is foreign interference, a foreign nexus, or a counterintelligence threat to it from a national security perspective. So if you take a look at the charter of the what's known as the NCSC, National Counterintelligence and Security Center, that's one entity that that's within the ODNI construct, the Office of Director of National Intelligence, that has that as part of their area of responsibility. Now, I did send to the producer a couple of these executive orders that we can
let's do this. First one is Executive Order 13848. Let's bring it up on the screen.
Yeah, so 13848 is the one that was signed by President Trump in his first term back in September of 2018, and it was re-upped by the AutoPen administration, the illegitimate Biden one, for those that consider it legit. So it still continued. I never considered the Biden criminal syndicate as a legitimate regime. But in this, it says impose certain sanctions in the event of foreign interference in a U.S. election. So to summarize, it is the responsibility of the DNI to within 45 days post federal election to provide an intel community assessment on whether or not there were foreign interference, and that intel community assessment is to be provided to the executive branch leadership, the president, vice president, and a few other cabinet level officials. Okay. So there's that. Also, when President Trump came into office the second term, if you want to pull up the other executive orders, just pick anyone, whatever's handy right there.
The one on preserving and protecting the integrity of American elections.
Right. So that executive order was written early on in this administration last year, and that is one of the executive orders that was listed as part of the executive orders of what Tulsi Gabbard was tasking her director's initiative group to look into to make sure that there was no foreign interference and impact to national security based on the foreign nexus. So if I were a guessing person, and I looked at those executive orders, EO13848. Let me see, what are some of the other names of those executive orders here?
Yeah, you've got this one we're showing on the screen right now, 14248, preserving and protecting the integrity of American elections.
Yep, and then you have holding former government officials accountable for election interference and improper disclosures of sensitive governmental information.
I like
that
one.
That's the one I want to stress. I want to go into a little bit more detail on that one.
Let's do it.
Remember, these two, this one and the previous one, were listed as two of the several executive orders on the press release on the ODNI's website from April of last year that created the Director's Initiative Group. Okay.
And that's the other document you presented.
That falls under Tulsi Gabbard's purview.
April 8th, 2025, ODNI news release. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, if you go, you have it printed off right there?
Yes, I do, right here. Yeah.
Take a look at it and go back to the second or whatever the last page is of there and take a look at the executive orders that are listed on what the ODNI is going to focus in on to ensure that the ODNI is supporting the president's executive orders. You can see there the preserving and protecting the integrity of American elections, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
You can see the holding former government officials.
Yep.
Okay.
Executive Order 14158, establishing, implementing the president's Department of Government Efficiency.
No, no, 14152.
No, I saw that. Holding former government officials accountable for election.
Yeah, so let's take a look at that one. Okay. Let's bring that one up and kind of scroll through that. Holding former government officials accountable for election interference and improper disclosure of sensitive governmental information. Okay, so one line of thought for me is if you scroll down there, that specifically is looking into, if you look at section 3, effective immediately.
This is the executive order implementation. One, just for the crew's benefat. Executive Order 14152, January
20th. There we go. They got it up on the screen. So on Section 3, listen closely, viewers, listeners, and watch closely. Section 3, implementation. A, effective immediately. The Director of National Intelligence, in consultation with the Director of the Central Intelligence Agency, shall revoke any current or active clearances held by the following individuals. Guess what? Those are the 51 spies who lied. That wrote their little memo published by Politico, some people call Politico, about that the Biden criminal syndicate laptop had all the earmarks of a Russian info op. All complete BS lies, right? And so you can see there Tulsi calling someone. Huh, I wonder who she's calling. I guess we'll never know. So, let's go through the list. And let's focus in on, you know, you see James Clapper, Mike Hayden, Panetta, John Brennan, the former CIA director.
The four horsemen right there.
Now let's go a little bit further down. By the way, Doug Wise, yep, I know that name very well. And the key name that I want to look at is number 19. Number 19, David B. Buckley. Did you know that he was the staff director for Nancy Pelosi's J6 cover-up committee?
I knew that.
You knew that. Most of America still doesn't know that. So one of the 51 spies who lied, the former inspector general for the CIA during John Brennan's reign of terror, was David Buckley, who was the, as you like to call it, Stuart, the designated hitter on behalf of the deep state in order to weaponize against those that they wanted to weaponize against to cover up their coup and then to make sure that President Trump would never return back into office. So David Buckley was the singular most important individual that actually weaponized against you, the Oath Keepers, Proud Boys, and all January Sixers, because he was the singular most important influential member of that select committee. He orchestrated who would get interviewed, how the investigations would go, what questions to ask, who would be at the hearings of the 10 orchestrated hearings. That guy orchestrated the whole thing on behalf of John Brennan.
So he's a CIA, allegedly, direct CIA plug-in. This reminds me of the Warren Commission where we had Alan Dulles sitting in, you know, sitting there as a member of the Warren Commission running the whole damn thing. It's the same thing, right?
Yeah. So people are like, wait, why are you going in this direction, Ivan? Because didn't Stuart ask you about Georgia? Well, let's link it back. It's all connected, folks. So you have the CIA's John Brennan. You have the CIA's David Buckley, who was the guy that orchestrated the Fed's direction cover-up in order to cover up their election heist that occurred in 39 states, one of which, actually 40 states when you include Georgia, because in 39 states, the CIA, the Fauci funded, the lab incident that created the changes to the election laws in 39 states, Georgia wasn't one of those 39 states of which COVID rules changed the rules of the game in that state. What changed the dynamics in Georgia was out of nowhere, you had all these mail-in. You had the consent decree between Bradley Raffensperger and the Secretary of State and Stacey Abrams, which was, when you look at the consent decree, it basically authorized those illegal methods of voting. Not to mention what Garland Favorito has exposed over the last 5-6 years and others. So when people ask, when Mark Warner, the vice of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, is putting out a tweet asking, why is the director of national intelligence over at this raid in Fulton County, Georgia? Well, son, how about I riddle you this, punk? You see these spies who lied? The DNI has the responsibility to investigate and conduct counterintelligence for national security purposes, her own employees, current and former, and anyone that has a clearance on whether they communicated and coordinated with elements in Fulton County to steal and conduct an illegal election with a foreign nexus. So if she's standing there, Stuart, I can bet the bank that there is, she already knows the foreign nexus, and that is why she is down there. And that is why Mark Warner and the rest of the Democrat legal team known as Mark Zaid, the lawyer, if you don't know who he is, he's the lawyer that represented Eric Ciaramella, the quote unquote fake whistleblower on the Ukraine call, right?
Right.
So if you want to back up a little bit and refer back to the deep state target list and the briefings that I did while Stuart Rhodes was in prison and the rest of the J6ers were in prison, all of it applies today. I'm glad my work is finally being actioned.
Well, even if
America.
There wasn't, and I'm sure there is, a foreign nexus, there's a CIA nexus. The CIA is supposedly precluded from conducting operations in the United States against the American people or against our political system. But obviously they are.
Yes, obviously, and
they've,
that
they've been
too.
Caught doing it. And so she has absolute authority to go and investigate their corruption and their criminality. That's her job.
So I find it very coincidental that the first U.S. Capitol Police witness, the lady that the U.S. Capitol Police officer that shot folks in the face, well, shot folks with their non-lethal weapons into the crowd, unarmed, peaceful J6 rally attendees.
Which becomes lethal force if you shoot people in the face.
Right.
Yeah.
She was a key witness against Guy Reffitt, the first J6 trial. And then all of a sudden, shortly afterwards, apparently she goes over to work at the CIA. I don't know about you, but the process to get a clearance over about at the CIA is a couple of years.
There she is.
Yeah. Shawnee Kirkhoff. So I want, and I was
and
told that
was she potentially
the only
doing?
Way what's, you can what's... get an expedited entry as a, what's called a SPO, Special Protective Officer, I think it's called.
Right.
A SPO at the CIA, which is, you know, a security guard basically over at the CIA, is you got to get the director's approval. Huh. Who was the director of the CIA after January 6th of 2021? Let me look at my internet here and ask it. I think it was Gina Haspel, if I'm not mistaken still.
But the big
and who was Gina Haspel?
Go ahead.
He was the station chief in London that concocted the Russia hoax component of the CIA's effort to try to go after George Papadopoulos.
Hmm.
Eh? You see how it all is interconnected? And yes, I've already connected all those dots, and I'm glad to see, based on looking at the breadcrumbs of her being in Georgia, I would suspect that she and her team are also connecting those dots.
Which brings up the Brian Cole hearing that we attended.
Yes.
When we were in D.C. together.
So when Shawnee Kirkhoff was represented as the potential, based on gate analysis, the deep state went to its main disinformation platforms to spew out, oh, she has an alibi. She was playing with her puppies. But guess what? That alibi wasn't pushed out, as far as I understand, by her attorneys publicly. It was just sent to the media to say that her attorney said that. So there's really no, like, there's no method to test whether that's true or not. It was just published. And I guess Jocelyn Ballantyne believed it and told Cash, Counterfeit Cash, Scam Blondie, and the rest of the crew to believe Jocelyn Ballantyne.
Well, just more like importantly, they tried to importantly, that the CIA spun up when that came out.
Yeah.
The deep state went ballistic.
John Radcliffe, did he say anything? No. It would be nice for him to say something. I don't know. I know a lot more, but we'll leave it at that. Brian Cole Jr. I talked to his family yesterday a little bit. They said thank you for being there and supporting. And I don't know. The more I look into this, the more ridiculous it is. And I think the big takeaway from the hearing on Wednesday with Brian Cole Jr. is that the defense team laid out a plan for discovery, and they said we want interagency, all the interagency. And the government said, well, it could be classified, et cetera. Hmm. Here's the problem is that you can't go after the interagency information that you need in order to defend Brian Cole Jr. because it's U.S. Capitol Police legislative branch footage and content. The same content that every J6er couldn't get a hold of because guess why? The Speaker of the House and Senate Majority Leader will never allow you to look at that because if that gets released, then the Capitol Police officers that are incriminated in that are going to disclose all the blackmail that they themselves have from living with members of Congress, of all the members of Congress to include the senior leadership. So they leverage each other through the blackmail they have on each other. That's why the only way we're going to get to the truth, Stuart, is folks like Steve Baker, Kyle Serafin, myself, you, independents.
And
if Tulsi Gabbard shows, here's the problem though. If it's CIA op, John Radcliffe is going to do everything in his power to block Tulsi Gabbard from being able to pierce into that information.
And that brings me back.
And I would guess that that's been going on for a year.
And that brings me back to what we said when we stood out in front of the White House and held that little press conference. Though the nuclear option is simply mass declassification and exposure. And the Insurrection Act.
Yeah, you want to conduct a raid? You raid the CIA for this information.
Kick them out of the building.
You raid the NSA for this information.
That's right.
You raid the DOJ and assist Todd Blanche to expedite his release of the Epstein files.
Right. Well, you just go and do it yourself. He's not going to do it. I think we're right. The only way for Trump to defeat the deep state and save the republic and to do it in time for us to purge out the bad guys in both political parties before the primaries is to use that mass declassification right now. So do the raid on the CIA, kick them out of the buildings, put military intelligence in charge, have them all go home on paid leave, and just pull it out, declassify it, show it to the American people, and expose them all. That's the only way. Otherwise, yeah. I believe they're going to wind up losing the midterms. When this is, I hate to be right, but I think we're right about that. Well, hey, brother, how can folks follow you on X?
So real quick, 10 seconds. If I had 10 seconds with President Trump, I'd tell him this, that, I mean, you were shot in Butler. They almost killed you. They almost killed you again down in Florida. I mean, look back at your own legacy and your family's legacy. I get it. It's going to hurt a lot of people, all the things that will get disclosed. But, I mean, that will be your legacy. God allowed you to stay on this earth. We're begging you. Please get all of it out there, all the dirty laundry out there.
Right.
I'm on X, Ivan Raiklin, Substack. And, if you want to help me out in crushing Mr. Fanone through this defamation lawsuit, you can support at givesandgo.com/RaiklinVFanone and get a hold of Dana White if you want to see a cage match at the White House on July 4th between me and Fanone.
All right. God bless, guys. We're out.
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it. Just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles. Because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at what's, how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.